Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, you greaties and grannies, to this Sunday's edition of the Big Puzzle. My name is Barry Prince. I'm coming to you live from my kitchen here in northern British Columbia. I'm broadcasting through Shake and Wake Radio and also being simulcast on the Truth Be Told Radio Network. Welcome to the show. I always like to start the show with a little plug for the people that are running these organizations. If you can chip in even a coffee a month into the kitty. I know the people that, like I said, run these radio stations would much appreciate any help that you could share. I also like to start my show thanking my producer because I always forget to do that at the end of my show. Today I'm going to have Vinnie Eastwood in for a little chat about what's going on in the prison state of New Zealand. I should call it Prison Island of New Zealand. But before that, we have a special guest that we didn't know was going to join us today, and she's taken a few minutes out of her day to join us and explain a few things about what's going on in New Zealand as far as the government's response to this crazy pandemic and this killer disease. I am joined by the Health Minister of New Zealand. Welcome to the show, and this is a surprise. I wasn't expecting you to hear from you today, but now that you are in, I did have a list of questions that people ask me all the time about this so-called pandemic, and I'd like to start off with welcome to the show, and could you tell people a little bit about yourself before I get into a couple questions for you?
Hi, everybody. Well, I'm the official voice of the government here in New Zealand, colloquially known as the COVID-19 announcement lady. And you hear me in advertisements and television commercials that are all over the place because the government was kind enough to give the mainstream and alternative media over $900 million in advertising revenue during this pandemic. And so it basically gives them a good 900 million reasons to do exactly what we tell them to say.
Wow. That sounds pretty exciting. Number one question I'm getting asked all the time now is, do these vaccines actually work?
Well, it depends what you're asking about what they do. If you're asking if they work, just broadly speaking, yes, they do. They kill people. They give people long-term illnesses that we can prescribe medications for the rest of their lives, or just basically get rid of the useless eaters. You know, people if are 21 years old doing MMA training, it doesn't really matter. They can drop dead on the mats, and that's all good, just as long as they take both jabs and the booster and all of that. Don't read the side effects. You don't need to. We don't read out the side effects or any of these things to people. I mean, why would you need to know? The only things you need to know is the words we repeat to you often enough for it to sink in. Safe and effective. Okay? It is safe and effective. There is absolutely no need to worry. And the vaccines absolutely work for our global depopulation agenda purposes.
Wow. One of the other questions I'm getting here right away in the chat is, who does your hair, Minister? Actually, it came from, wait a second, it's TV New Zealand just posted a question. They want to know who's looking after your hair, and it looks fabulous, comment I'm getting here.
Oh, thank you so much. You see, I did it myself because I'm so responsible during the pandemic that, of course, I have to do everything myself, including trimming down there. So the thing about it is, normally I would go to a salon, I would get a nice wax, but unfortunately, during this pandemic, we all have to take full responsibility for ensuring the shutdown of society. That means not keeping yourself terribly well-groomed by having professionals do it, and just sort of get by with what you've got. So thank you very much for the compliment. I've had a lot of practice after maybe 10 to 11 weeks of this proposed 3-week lockdown.
Wow, that's pretty cool, buddy, I got to tell you. Listen, one of the biggest problems we're having right now is, how do we get the unvaccinated people to comply? I mean, these people are super spreaders. They're a threat to our society. How do we get these standouts that just refuse to get vaccinated? How do we get them to comply?
Well, we'll just treat them like Jews, you know. We'll make them wear something when they're walking around. We'll smash up their shops. We'll coerce them. We'll tell people to spit on them in the streets and tell people publicly how much they disapprove of them. We'll repeat in the media over and over again, anti-vaxxer, anti-vaxxer, vaccine hesitant, vaccine hesitant. And eventually people will think that these people just exist for no other reason than to spread disease and to destroy our country. And once the public has been, you know, convinced of that enough, it won't matter if the anti-vaxxers don't want to take their vaccines, because there will be enough public force to just make them do it anyway. And that's what's really good for society, I think.
I agree. I shouldn't say that, because I'm supposed to be neutral here. What about natural immunity? We keep getting all this pushback in the media about people that have actually had COVID-19 have got now natural immunities in their bodies, and yet you're still mandating that they take the vaccine on the jab. How do we get around that one? Because that's like, I mean, that's been kind of health science for many, many years, that, you know, you develop antibodies once you've been exposed to them. How do we get around that hurdle? I mean, that problem or that question, Minister?
Well, you see, science is now different because we say it is.
Okay.
Where once upon a time people would need facts and evidence and peer-reviewed articles or at least some kind of logic to their policy, some kind of health history or some sort of insight into the basic human condition, virology, toxicology, and all of these various fields that actually come into play here with the individual immune system function and immunity to disease. Now, but since vaccines were invented, the vaccine companies took over the media. And so now natural immunity is witchcraft. So anybody who is talking about natural immunity or getting infected with a virus and not being cured by a vaccine or not needing a vaccine because they've cured themselves or something of that nature, these people are, in fact, practicing a form of witchcraft. And just like back in the day, we need to do what is necessary in order to rid society of this evil.
Oh, to protect society. I absolutely agree. I keep hearing about ivermectin, and people are swearing by this stuff. To me, it sounds like horse tranquilizer. What's going on over there about with that?
Well, nobody's really hearing anything about it, which really benefits the people and the country and Agenda 21.
Okay, so you kept it away from the people over there effectively.
Yeah. I mean, keep it out of the media, delete anybody, anybody's account who even mentions it will get a 3-week or 3-month ban or something like that. I mean, the social media apparatus has been absolutely instrumental in pushing our message relentlessly and suppressing any alternative message just as relentlessly. And this has created a real sense of harmony within the population, because it appears as though people only think one thing, and that is what we tell them to think.
It's kind of like you've got them pretty well brainwashed, as far as I can see. I mean, you see ICUs, you say variants, you say mask, you say social distancing. It's kind of like teaching a dog, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the thing is, we're trying to train the public in order to turn them into the prison population of the future, which will be sort of open air. You know, when you walk around at this point, everybody's sort of like vaguely aware that they're being surveilled. But that's going to be ratcheted up very, very slowly over time. And if people had freedoms, or any elders who remembered a time where there were freedoms, they wouldn't accept the new way of doing things. And the new way of doing things is whatever we tell you to do. And the problem is that when you try to take freedom from people, they resist. So what we're trying to do is convince the public that there is a situation that is so chaotic, so out of their control, so impossible for them to do anything about by themselves, and make them feel so lonely and so isolated that the only voice that they hear repeatedly will become the voice that they trust above all else, even if that means reporting their friends and reporting their family for all the things that we now say are against the law. gathering with your friends, gathering with your family, protesting, any of these things which people normally had as freedoms will now only be available for the double vaccinated and the ones who have had at least three boosters over the next 3 years. And then we'll give your freedoms back, assuming that within these next 3 years that we've already come out with one booster this year, that there won't be any more that come up, and in which case we'll shift the goalposts and make sure that all just kind of like slides down in that particular function.
Well, I agree. The reaction's got to suit the threat, obviously, and we must make society aware of that factor. So, all in all, what does this really have to do with
the public? Very aware that this is a huge, huge threat that we're facing here, and that nobody can escape this threat, and that it will affect everybody. But the difference is, we're not telling them what the threat really is. We're just saying that it's a kind of disease.
Right, and of course they hear it 45 times a day on every news station in the world. It doesn't take long for it to actually sink into the brains that this really is a threat. So what does this whole thing really have to do with health and safety?
Well, nothing really. I mean, it's mostly about societal coercion, and lockdowns are mostly just a precursor to martial law, or basically they are martial law. The reason why martial law might be instituted is that there's some kind of chaotic situation that is so out of control that in order to stop society from collapsing in on itself, you need to suspend civil liberties. That's one reason why you might do it. But the reason why we're doing it here is the second reason why anybody would do martial law, is that you are a foreign power taking over and you want to prevent the local population from mounting any effective resistance against the new regime. And this new regime is completely technocratic and totalitarian. We've already been testing it in China, and it's going to work really, really well here too. The only thing we need to do is just arrest all the protest leaders and send a chilling effect through the media and fire all the doctors who speak out and things of that nature, and very, very slowly but very surely coerce people and corral them so that they get divided and efficiently conquered. And this way, it'll be best for everybody.
I just read a report, and I don't know if this is true. Maybe you can help me out with this, that Australia is actually opening up quarantine camps. Is that correct? Or is there any truth to that? Have you heard anything about that, sir? I'm not supposed to call you sir.
Well, the problem is we've been working on quarantines of various varieties for a very, very long time. We've been working on quarantine and international pandemic measures since the first type of things, like in the swine flu and the Zika virus and coronavirus or whatever kind of virus is going on. We've been planning for this for a very long time. So if there are quarantine camps that are being set up now, that they're new? What say that they haven't been there for a long time and just been repurposed or rebranded or something of that nature to make it more acceptable to the public? The public who think that this is such a deadly virus that we do need to stop being human beings, and we need to stop treating other human beings like human beings, and we need to obey the elected officials who have the lowest approval rating in history.
Just keep feeding them, I guess, every day, and it eventually sinks in. So in your own admission, do you think you've done a good job on this or a really bad job?
Well, you know, I wish we could have done better. You know, everybody wants to have their vaccine rate as high as as possible in the Western world, and New Zealand has aimed for 90%, which is the highest in the Western world, and I'm sure that we'll hit our targets, provided we coerce people enough, threaten them enough, and restrict them enough, and take enough of their freedoms away, and take away the enjoyment of being alive and being human from them. I'm pretty sure we can hit our target of making 90% of people completely capitulate to our agenda and wind up taking the poison jab that has no tests and untold side effects, which nobody's required by New Zealand law to learn, and also can't sue the manufacturer. You know, so it's. I think we've done a really, really good job, but we could have done a lot better.
I think you've covered a lot of the bases. I don't think there's too much to come at you for now over everything you've told me here in the last little while. You know, it's been a real pleasure having you in today, and I think my audience was happy to hear some of the information coming out of New Zealand. I know over here in America and Canada, we're kind of going down the same path, but I think you guys are a little bit ahead of us over there. So it's good to see what's coming down the tubes for us, because same thing that's going on in Australia is eventually going to make it over here, and what's going on there is going to make it over here. So it's been a pleasure having you in.
What's wonderful about living in a new world order is that if something happens somewhere, it's going to happen elsewhere, and it happens everywhere. And that's why we all essentially live in one world now. So if you've got one fight, it is against COVID-19 public order and decent civility, or you have a fight against that system. And basically, if you're against that system, you are going to be persecuted, you are going to be arrested, you are going to have your financial ties distressed with, people are going to tell lies about you and demonize you and drag your name through the mud. And that's all bullying tactics so that we can ensure that you shut up about these things you call facts, okay? Look, the reason why we think that COVID really exists is because the PCR tests that we have provide up to 97% false positives. So if it's positive, there's a 97% chance that it's a false positive. And you can make it test positive for anything. And masks don't work against viruses. It's actually just a public training measure to make you get used to the government telling you to put something on your body, and then eventually you'll accept them telling you to do anything, including put things in your body. And they don't protect against viruses virtually at all. They're more like medical things to prevent a surgeon's sweat from dripping into the wound. And the vaccines have never been safety tested. They've never done phase 3 double-blind trials. And in fact, we now have the mainstream media here: long-term side effects of vaccine, not a thing. All right? Saying, claiming that any vaccine reaction that happens within a couple of days, and there's no such thing as long-term side effects at all. And so if you died a week after having the vaccine, it can't have been the vaccine. All right? So everybody needs to really calm down and just listen to the COVID-19 announcements. This is a COVID-19 announcement. Happy birthday to you. And then just calm down, because when we speak in a really nice, pleasant voice and tell you that you're going to go to jail for up to 6 months for violating the level 4 lockdowns, you'll do exactly what you're effing told. Won't you, slave? Won't you? Thank you so much for having me on.
Well, it's a pleasure having somebody on that's got a reputation for telling the truth and not exposing, you know, not providing the public with any misinformation. That what you're sharing today is absolutely imperative, that we understand that you're on the right side of history, and you're only trying to protect us. Thank you for joining me. I've got to get Vinnie Eastwood in here in a minute. Thanks again for coming in.
All right. Thank you. I'm going to go get changed now, because I just feel so dirty after telling the truth.
Just keep running this. Go get changed, bro.
What? Vinnie, it's you. It was you all along. Come on, buddy. Oh, my God. Now I feel duped.
Yeah. Well, in your defense, you are Canadian, so that's, wait a second.
What?
I say nothing.
Well, at least when we want to leave, we still have roads out of here.
Yeah, yeah. Proceed with your commentary, and I'm just going to go put my clothes on, bro. I'll be back in just a minute.
Please do. Yeah. Well, that was a treat having Vinny have that guest in. That was unexpected, guys, and I'm sure he shed a little bit of light, or she shed. I'm not supposed to call her he, okay, or it. Anyways, I can get in trouble for that. I can go to jail. So. But anyways, it was a pleasure having him in and sharing some information about the insides of New Zealand health. Sounds very familiar with what we're dealing with in Canada right now. Almost T for T and I for I. So we'll have Vinny back in here in about 15 seconds. Come on, Vinny. It doesn't take that long to get changed. Anyways, yeah. Seeing that article about quarantine camps in Australia, in Canada here, we've had multiple reports of the same thing going on in some rural areas, and people actually got videos and photographs of these camps, and they don't look like anything that you would see in a modern society. They look like something that came out of Germany in the Second World War, complete with the barbed wire. So what'd you think of what that minister had to say there, Vinny?
All right, I'm back.
Okay, what do you think of that minister? What are your comments? What are your thoughts on what she or he had to say today?
Well, of course, we're looking at a situation where what people experienced only just a year or two ago and considered life is completely different after 2 years of complete solid propaganda and brainwashing. All right, like they've shifted public consciousness from one place to a completely different place now. Mm-hmm. And one thing that it's destroyed in its entirety, I think in its entirety, but I could be wrong, and I hope I am, is dialogue between people who disagree.
I'm going to add to that quickly, Vina, because yesterday I had a conversation with a family member. It's the first time I've talked to my sister about this whole thing since it started. And she is completely on board with the medical system in Canada, proud to say that she's had her two injections. She's looking forward to the boosters, calls it a deadly, deadly disease. It was almost as if I tried to say anything to her that was contrary to what she believed, you could immediately feel the shackles come up. And people are supposed to be intelligent individuals. We're supposed to be intelligent beings that we can have conversations without getting our shackles up, but immediately. And I find that with a lot of people that are completely indoctrinated with this whole agenda, immediately if you bring up anything that's contrary to what they believe, it's almost like you're poking them in the gut with a knife. So something I've noticed a lot.
The reason for that, it's something very ancient that comes back to when we were living in caves and whatnot with very small tribes, etc. And what happened there is if you got kicked out of the tribe at that point in human history, you're dead. Like, you're dead as a doornail. You got nobody to watch your back. You got nobody to help you gather food or get water or something like that. We survived on community. Now, because the community is now being told and repeated and basically solidified in people's minds as something that does exist and exists in this exact form, if you reject that form of the community that they're that they espouse to believe in, what their brain tells them is that this guy's trying to kill you. Get out of here. Kill him. Do something. What are you doing? You see? And now you know why that reaction is there, because when we tell people that this society that they think is trying to save them is trying to kill them, their brain tells them that we are trying to kill them.
Yeah, no, I'm getting called the one of those unvaxxed is what I'm hearing in public now, because people know that I'm taking a stand against it. I can't go play hockey this year, Vinny, and you know what? I love playing hockey. It's one of my biggest stress releases in my life. I love putting on the pads and stopping pucks. It's a mental illness I've had since I was a kid, but they took that away from me this year because I refused to take the vax. And see what's happening in Canada right now. It is just turning this country upside down. It's doing it in your country. It's doing it in Australia. But what we're seeing in Canada right now is tens of thousands of people walking off their jobs. Nurses, doctors, people in industries, union people are all walking off their jobs. And the economic effect is really going to be felt here in the next little while. And, of course, it's all part of the agenda. You're probably experiencing the same thing there, correct?
Yeah, like I say, it's a new world order. All right, there's no place that is exempt from this. That's absolutely what we are dealing with right now. There's no retreat that's possible. I mean, I'm
in the unfortunate case that I got arrested for selling cannabis when I was 20, just turned 20. And ever since then, I haven't been able to get out of this country, this godforsaken archipelago. And so because New Zealand's not a federal system, it's a centralized parliamentary dictatorship, which means you don't really have any rights. You only have parliamentary privileges. And so if they decide that I need to be executed for being an anti-vaxxer, just anything is completely unreasonable at that. They can pass the legislation at 4 o'clock in the morning when there's nobody there with no forewarning or something like that, and then pre-prepare it in secret and then pass it under urgency and then have it implemented within weeks or days. All right. Yes. That's what they did after the Christchurch mosque massacre. They had a gun ban announced the day of, and they had it implemented and started to be carried out 14 days afterwards. All right. That's how quick this country can take away people's rights. That's how quick this country can disarm the population. That's how quick they could move to exterminate anybody who stands in their way, should they choose to do it. And with a completely immoral and cowardly, backboneless population, then they could do it easily, because they'll just be like, yes, yes. These people have become what I call taken, hook, line, and Jacinda.
So is New Zealand basically disarmed now, Vinny? The population in general?
The 5 million people in this country, there was equally that many guns or something like that. There might have been a million guns in the population here or there, but the records of the police kept were extremely inaccurate. And so they would turn up and like somebody they'd think had one gun, but he had like 17 or whatever. And so the amount that is on record that has actually been handed in since the buybacks and all of that kind of stuff happened is extremely small. Like maybe a projected 5% of the guns that are actually out there. All right. Maybe 50,000 weapons have been handed in during all these buybacks and things of that nature. So I have it on good authority that there are a lot of men in this country, real men, who won't be slaves, who knew what the government was doing when they were told to hand in their guns, and they hid them. And they knew how to bury them, and they knew how to store them properly. They cleaned them and everything like that before they put them in. And if the day that they decide that they have to go and get those guns, you will see pain and suffering and blood shed in the streets in this country, like the Maori, even themselves, the most brutal warriors in all of history, noted, all right, as one of the regiments that the Nazis feared during World War II was the Maori regiment. Even they couldn't imagine the savagery and the brutality that will happen. There are New Zealand men who are frickin' barbarians, mate, and they will start killing people if they feel that their families are threatened with forced vaccines and things like that. And that is ultimately where the place that we all need to be emotionally. You try and kill my family, you're gonna die. All right, full stop, comma, period, rule off, strip off the rest of the page. That is the end of the story, my friends. You come for my family, you try and execute them, you try and make us into Cambodian killing fields and things like that. There is only going to be one thing that all these people have in common all the way the world round, and that is their feet dangling just above the floor that they can't reach while they choke to death. All right.
Yeah, Steve, my producer, wants to ask you a question there, Vinny, real quick.
Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Steve.
Hi, Vinny. Just a little bit of a scenario to start out with. There's a man over here in America. And I think his name is Stephen Quayle. Do you know of him?
I had him on the show once, yeah.
Okay. He delves into a lot of things, a lot of esoteric, a lot of Luciferian type stuff. I seen a video of him recently saying that there was literally hundreds of thousands, if not millions, of super soldier troops that were getting ready to be rolled out just for this reason, because, you know, we're not buying their load of crap anymore. I just wonder what you thought of that.
Yeah. Well, the last time I had Steve Quayle on the show, I thought we had a really good show. You know, he was like, you know, Vinny, some people are on the same page. You and me are on the same sentence, son. And then after he hung up, New Zealand got hit by some tornadoes and stuff like that. And then he said publicly on his show that tornadoes hit New Zealand because of my cavalier attitude towards him during that interview. And God was punishing New Zealand because of my cavalier attitude. Right. So whatever Steve says, I mean, take it with a grain of salt. But that being said, super soldiers, let's think about what that actually means. Now, you ever heard of the German Goliath tank? No, it was a secret tank project. The tank was about the size of a radio-controlled truck, all right? You know, those little ones that you give by the kids on Christmas and stuff like that? The Goliath. It was that big. It was a little remote-controlled tank with some explosives on board, and they could just remote control it, drive underneath enemy tanks, and then explode from underneath, all right? In warfare, you call things the opposite of what they are. All right. So when people say super soldier, they don't know what it really means. Super soldier means somebody who's been ritualistically, sexually, and tortured and abused and reprogrammed and been overdosed with drugs and stuff like that. These are fragile people, but you give them the right trigger, they can do certain things. In some cases, they can change personality completely from one to the other, where one personality can learn a certain language and another not.
Okay? Well,
where one personality will remember what they're doing and what their mission is, and one won't.
Well, I was just hearkening back to Hitler's SS troops. They were given methamphetamines, and they could fight 5 days in a row. Four or five.
It was said that the U.S. troops during Vietnam, one of the Viet Cong said that you had to shoot these guys so much before they had to lose all the blood in their body had to drain out before they would go down.
Yes.
All right. Mm. That's methamphetamine, man. And the Chinese triads, they are absolutely running methamphetamine in this country at epidemic levels. They're just filtering it into the community. They've bought off a lot of the gang leaderships and local gangs and things like that. And when gangs didn't exist, they set them up. And at the moment, a high percentage of Auckland, my home city where I was born and where I've grown up, is bought out by the Chinese nationals. And now when I say that, the way this infiltration ostensibly works, and this is the reason why we're implementing Agenda 21 and becoming more like mainland Shanghai China, New Zealand, as it's pronounced now, is because of a, funnily enough, Royal Canadian Mounted Police investigation in 1996, I believe. They were like wondering, I wonder if the Chinese state is starting to infiltrate at Canada. Let's find out. Let's have a look at all the ports. Let's have a look at all who owns all of our real estate and everything like that. Let's see who's in our bureaucracies. And they found out that 80% of downtown Vancouver, this is 1996, was already 80% owned by the Chinese, and that 100% of Chinese ports had triads in them. How did they do it? How did they take over your country without you even finding out? Well, because they just get yourself a passport. When you've got a passport from some dirty passport pilfering frickin' embassy in Hong Kong or something like that who's on the take, hey, you're now a citizen. So as soon as you go to Canada and you buy stuff for China, it's been logged as being purchased by a citizen of Canada. Okay. And so they found out the plan of how they're actually doing this, because the People's Liberation Army, Chinese intelligence, been figuring out how to infiltrate the West for a very, very long time, and they figured it out. They work with gangs, all right? The gangs have a hell of a lot of drug money that needs laundering, and the state needs a hell of a lot of slaves that they need to place in other people's countries that are basically unwitting dupes who will do whatever they tell them if they've got family back home and just threaten them, and then boom, you've got yourself a reliable asset in a neighboring country. So you combine them all. You give them a fake passport, a hell of a lot of laundered drug money. You send them to Canada. You purchase the homes. You purchase the businesses. Don't change the name of the business. Just keep running it as usual. Then when you have your kids, you get them to study really, really hard. And then when they graduate high school, get them into university to study even harder. And once they graduate, tell them to get a government job. And before you know it, 65% of Canada's bureaucracy is run by people who weren't born there, okay? And in addition to all the people who were born there, who were actually sent there as agents of the state from a foreign, for a foreign power. And the investigation that I'm alluding to was shut down at, quote, the highest levels. That means the Prime Minister's office at the time. And that means that in 1996, China already controlled the Prime Minister's office of Canada. All right. Now, Canada was, of course, not the only country on China's list of infiltrations. Now, is China doing this of their own free will? Are they, did they come up with this idea of their own? No, they didn't have the tradecraft. They didn't have the connections. They were given it by the West. OK, our governments sold out and allowed them to do this because it's part of a greater plan to turn everything into the new world order. China's just a test bed. So they made the test bed and then they spread it out over the entire table. And now there won't be anything to eat. All right. That's basically it. If you're not with it. This is total control that we're looking at here. I likened it to the COVID tracer apps and all of the stuff surveilling everywhere you go, everything you do. It's very, very similar, and I think it's coercing us, or rather moving us closer towards that Chinese, what do they call, social credit system, okay?
Exactly. That's being implemented in Canada right now, Vinny.
There you go. Mm-hmm. All right, so the story I've got here is, I just made it up, you know, Chang's walking across the street and he gets a text from the government saying, hey, in your area tonight, we're turning off the power between 6 and 8 p.m. Because we can. And we just need the power for something. And really, it's just actually a reason to just make everybody feel like they've got complete powerlessness. And Chang's really pissed off when he gets this because he just had a really hard day's work. He had to travel 3 hours to get into town to do his job. And now he has to travel 3 hours to get home. And so he mutters under his breath, bloody CCP. And then the phone picks up what he said. And then he gets another text saying, you are criticizing China. And this phone's like yelling at him, you know, and now we are going to lock your house. And if you complain again, we turn off bank account. We sell your house to somebody else who want it. Okay. And you're like, okay. This is pretty scary now. So Chang, like, because he's looking locked out of his place right now and he doesn't want to lose his bank account, he doesn't say nothing about the CCP now. So he calls up his mate Wang because he needs a place to stay, and Wang just lives down the road so he can walk to him. And when Wang's phone rang, unbeknownst to Chang, Chang's now on the blacklist. So Wang's phone rings differently with a different tone to let him know that his mate Chang's on the blacklist. All right. So Wang doesn't pick up the phone because he knows that if he does talk to somebody on the blacklist, he'll go on the blacklist too. So Chang is now sitting there, can't go home. All right. And even if he could, he couldn't cook anything or do anything. And if he complains about it, they'll turn his bank accounts off and then he won't be able to do anything ever again, including buy food. All right. Mm. That is how much of a slave everybody will be unless all of us are willing to do exactly what is necessary, up to and including the use of defensive force to roll this stuff back. All right. It all goes root and stem. It is a complete and total infiltration of our society, and everybody who is capitulating with it right now is a coward. All right. They don't have to be. They can stop being a coward anytime they choose and start standing up and doing what's right. But until they do so, while they continue to capitulate to the system and say, look, I want to be able to keep my money and my comfort and things like that. I don't want to be thrown out in the street and what have you. I'll tell you what, man, it's going to be worse. You're going to be wishing for death as soon as the system comes to its full fruition. And that's assuming you even survive the transition. Most of us won't. They want to kill 90% of us off and leave the rest of us, like poor old Chang, a complete slave.
But Vinny,
right, Georgia Guidestones, Vinny.
Vinny, to go on.
And, you know, you think about a weapon that they could use on society to kill that many of us in a very short period of time. Well, we see a global push to get this so-called jab into as many people as they possibly can. We have to realize, you know, and this is something we talked about with Roger and other people on my shows over the years that seem to have a pretty good idea of exactly how far advanced their technology is. And we got to realize that, you know, we don't know what's going into these injections, but we do know that by simply hitting a person with a different frequency and scrambling the frequencies in their body, you can stop their heart and you can make them drop dead on the spot. I say to people, we don't know what's in these shots, Vinny. They're not being exposed. They're not forced to expose it. If you take the inserts out of the COVID-19 vaccines, they're blank. The government's not making them expose any of the ingredients. So what really is in these shots? Like I said, their technology is 15 years ahead of what we know, Vinny. Go ahead.
Well, 15, I mean, according to Dr. Bill Eagle, they could be any 10,000 years ahead of us or whatever. They could have stuff that for us would appear like frickin' magic. For all we know, all the sci-fi really amazing stuff that we've seen in the last decade of what have you is based off of real technology that they've actually got full possession of and in full working order that they are using in underground bases and a frickin' breakaway civilization that make the rest of us look like monkeys tootling around on anthills.
I believe that. Go ahead.
All right. So, what's the question exactly? I mean, what is it we're actually facing here? What is it we're actually going to do about it? You know,
methods of exterminating large volumes of people in a very, very short time.
How are they going to do it? Oh, okay. Well, the thing is, ignorance, apathy, laziness, and cowardice. These are the four horsemen of the apocalypse, okay? This is what's going to kill people, ostensibly. And the thing is, when we look at the technologies of this, these are all pointless exercises. Because let's say, for example, there's a threat, guy coming at you with a stick. Now, how often do you have a threat coming directly at you where you sit there and you have a discussion about the threat that's coming at you? No, you don't. You've got to immediately do something about it, right? Very, very quickly. And I think that's what's happening right now with us is that we're all in fight or flight mode. We're trying to react to this, but because we're in reaction mode, we don't do the best thinking. All right. We're in reaction mode. We're not in contemplation mode. Now, our enemies have come up with this plan called Agenda 21, illustrated here in behind the green mask, Agenda 21 by Rosa Corey there. Now, the thing about this is she said, Vinny, this is the conspiracy. Okay, the conspiracy, because everything really ties into this through the United Nations, through the World Health Organization, through the Rockefeller Foundation, through all these international globalist think tanks and groups and clubs, Bilderberg Group, Trilateral Commission, Council on Foreign Relations, Royal Institute for International Affairs. It doesn't matter what group of internationalist, globalist, child trafficking, satanic scum that you're talking about. It all runs through the dictate of this one global plan called Agenda 21 that they came up with in 1992 at the Rio Earth Summit, signed on Prince Charles's private yacht. And basically it works like this. Every information source, animal, vegetable, and mineral will be under complete 100% real-time control of a global AI network. And this is what's being built in China right now, which is being touted as the new center of the United Nations. The goal for all demonically motivated individuals throughout time has to be create their own God so that they don't have to obey God anymore, ostensibly. And so now they believe that creating an artificial intelligent life form will be their God and that their God will live by their rules. And what they mean by that, and it helps really to think of these things in terms of science fiction because they give you the truth through the movies and the fiction through the news, is that this computer God will, let's say for a lack of argument, it's called Omnis, okay, based on omniscient, as in all-knowing. And Omnis will come online And when it comes online, it has a complete catalog and database of everything, everywhere, at all times, and it can run it all in real time. Like, we're talking so much computing power that even if you put every single computer chip in the world together, it's like it couldn't do the job right now. It's going to be 10 to 20 times what every computer combined right now is going to be like, and that's why they're not really going to be looking at full implementation until 2100, because that's why it's called Agenda 21, the agenda for the 21st century, because by 2099, Omnis comes online. And anybody who thinks anything, they'll actually have the ability to read your mind. Anybody who thinks anything that's outside of the line will be punished. And if they don't capitulate with the punishment and correct their behavior, they'll be freaking taken out. Human beings won't be breeding anymore, okay? We'll all be so sterile from all the things that are deliberately put into our vaccines, our food, and our environment and things like that to prevent our ability to breed with unauthorized access to our own sexual organs. Okay, and this is what's going to happen. You're either going to play ball and then you'll be able to reproduce and your bloodline will continue contaminated as it is with all the additives and everything that they put in your food to limit your gene expression and so on and so forth and limit all your traits and whatnot, so that everybody will have a designed and specific function, kind of like alphas, betas, deltas and whatnot that we saw out of A Brave New World. And because this is such an unnatural state, nobody's going to like it, all right? Everybody's going to feel lost, lonely, and feel like something's missing, which is why there will be so much available to distract you from what you really think and what you really feel that you won't even notice the suffering that you're in. You'll actually rather enjoy it. You'll be doped up all the time. You'll be entertained all the time. You'll be having sex all the time. And you won't even have a moment's breath to pause to think about what you're missing out on.
You'll own nothing, and you'll be happy.
That you've never felt love, that you've never felt inspiration, that you've never created anything original that was really yours, that nothing human exists within you.
Dehumanization agenda. And we see it playing out.
There's been
There's
been at least one movie made in the last 4 or 5 years that that set out what Vinny was just talking about, the social credit score, you being able to have a child or do whatever you want to do. And there was a TV show they had, I think it was I don't know what cable network it was, but they had
probably talking about an episode of Black Mirror.
No. It was an entire season. They only had one season, and they started to get into some of those things which you're talking about. You be a good little boy, and we'll let you have a child, and you know, you have a social credit score and whatnot.
Now, the thing is, we don't want to think that this will happen, and we don't want it to happen ostensibly, but because it's so horrifying and it's so terrifying, because you're just such a normal person, all right? You love people, you care about people, you don't want to see them come to harm, so it's difficult for us to even imagine that people exist, that even the human condition could even allow for a plan this dastardly, for it to be thought of as a good idea. Now, the justification that these people use is that resources are going to run out, and we're like a virus. Human beings are a virus, and we're going to wipe this planet out, so we need to kill ourselves off, or we're all going to die, all right? Now, how many plots are like that, all right? I remember watching, Kingsman, The Secret Service, and in it, a colorful megalomaniac tech genius decided he would lure everybody on Earth with free internet and free calls through their SIM cards so that he could send a signal through it to turn them homicidal and turn off their inhibitions so that they would all kill each other so that the planet would be safe and only he and the elites would be able to emerge after this incident was over. Now I would love to actually go through a list of all my favorite sci-fi movies and show you how all the plots are about the New World Order agenda. All of them, okay? Mm-hmm. Every single sci-fi and even fantasy plot that you're talking about is ostensibly about the New World Order. Why? Because the CIA controls Hollywood. All right. Who does the CIA controlled by? Oh, the U.S. government. No, they're not. They're a private organization. What are you talking about? They've got shares, mate. Okay. Somebody owns 75% of the shares of the CIA, and it's not the U.S. government. Okay. Mm-hmm. Who are these people working for? They call themselves the company. All right. What is their job? Their job is to balance the economy, balance the books. Okay. How do they do that? Well, you've got to, the economy is a very, very big, different, and crazy beast. It's got a whole lot of ifs, outs, maybes, and what have yous. And so the only way you want to actually have control over it is if you can control the drug trade, the money supply, and the information supply. You control those three things. Well, of course, the oil supply as well, and the medicine, you know. You control the basics of life, ostensibly, and how people think and listen. You can control everything. And that's why the CIA was originally created during World War II, the OSS. And their job, when they started, as their job is today, was to confuse the enemy. All right. Now, just an example, they stole a train that was full of mail that was bound for Berlin. And they opened all the letters, read them, rewrote them to change certain details around, put the train back on the tracks, and sent it into Berlin. So when all the high command were reading all these letters about their troop movements and their family and so on and so forth, they had all this mixed messages, all this mixed information. They didn't know who their friends were, where their troops were, or what the guy across the hall was talking about them behind their back, for goodness sake. How were they ever going to unite or stand strong against their enemy if they were so confused? And now, ladies and gentlemen, do you understand why a lot of the time the messages that are coming out of the government is confusing you? Because it's a military tactic. You're being taken over.
Nothing makes sense, and it's designed to do that. Chaos is the order of the day. Vinny, we're down to the last minute. Believe it or not, that hour went very quickly. So I'd like you to share with people where they can find you and how they can follow you. And I'll have to let you go, but I hope we can carry on a conversation sometime in the near future again.
VinnyEastwoodShow.com. That's Vinny with a Y, because it's the most important question in Eastwood. Like, go ahead, make my news. Thank you very much, ladies, gentlemen, slaves of the global plantation. Vinny Eastwood is bad news. It's like the news, but worse. It's the lighter side of genocide. Just because we're being exterminated doesn't mean we can't make it fun. Otherwise, what's the point of being killed? Bad news. Where the only thing worse than living in a high-tech global police state run by child trafficking Satanists is Vinny's jokes.
Vinny, always a pleasure having you on, my friend. You are a funny guy, and I applaud what you're doing. I know you've been really persecuted in New Zealand here in the last little while. You were in jail. What they've done to you would get a lot of people to quit, but you're back swinging real hard, bud, and I applaud you for what you're doing. So hopefully we can have you back again here in the near future, my friend. Thanks for coming in today.
Cheers, Barry.
Okay. I'll be back, guys, in 4 minutes with Kellyanne Wolfe, and she's going to talk about some of the craziness going on in Canada. Thanks again, Vinny.
Cheers, Ryan.
have trod. With its crystal tide forever flowing by the throne of God. Yes, we'll gather at that river. Beautiful, the beautiful.
Welcome back to Second Hour, and thanks to Vinny Eastwood for coming in. Always interesting to have a chat with that guy. He seems to – he's kind of like the Duracell bunny. He's like another edition of Roger Landry, so it's always fun to have him in. But Kellyanne Wolf, I had her lined up for the second hour here. I talked to her today, and I talked to her yesterday, and for some reason she's not answering her phone, so I kind of panicked, and I figured, well, who can I call at the last second that might be good enough to step in and fill in for an hour? Of course, the name Wayne Peters came to my head, so I punched him up, and boy, he said, yes, I'll join you, Barry, and thanks for bailing me out here, Wayne, because I'm not very good solo. I never have been. I kind of like to have somebody to bounce ideas off back and forth, and you and me seem to get into some pretty good conversations, so thanks for coming in on short notice, and I know there's stuff you'd like to talk about this last week that's happened in your organizations. I really enjoyed the meeting we sat in on Tuesday night. What's going on, Wayne? And thanks, like I said, for coming in on short notice.
Well, this is what we build better together, right? Having each other's back. That's what community is all about. And when we serve the community, we don't say no when we're needed. So, you know, if there's any way that we can help get more truth and message out, that's what's the priority. So happy to have the opportunity to share with your community again. I hope they don't get sick and tired of me. I need my drone and ranting.
Well, no, hey, Wayne, quite the opposite. You seem to bring always good and kind of inspiring information to the show on some of the things that we're doing to push back against the absolute insanity we see in our country right now. I know the organizations that you're working with and the people that you're working with. That girl you had on our show today, man, what a She just had me tingling, buddy. What a spark plug. It's inspiring to see a person like that in Canada, because sometimes I wonder if those people still do exist in Canada. Then I listened to her talk today on your show there, Wayne, and I'll tell you, buddy, like I said, it was inspiring to listen to her speak.
Well, you know, here we are at the last second, and I was struggling for my pet peeve of the week, because I've been having such an amazing week that I was struggling for a pet peeve, but you've just kind of presented it to me. My pet peeve of the week is this nonsense with travel restrictions and the Covenism and that is going on, because the distance that they are creating in our country is a sad shame. It's stealing from the people when we don't have access to the amazing, brilliant people that are on opposite sides of this country. So today was I believe, like a watershed moment. You know, I would call it that. And I had a sensation about this last night. I've been talking with Dana for a few days now. Our objectives with the organizations, what we were trying to do, were so parallel. It was like merging of souls when we started to compare notes and look at what we could do. And it was an hour of jam-packed joy and knowledge and information and hope. I hope people get a chance to check it out, follow what's going on. Things are changing, and they're changing quickly for the better. But you're not seeing it on Facebook.
No, you're not. And Kelly just messaged me. I'm going to pull her in and let her join the conversation for an hour. Is that okay with you, Wayne?
Yeah, no, it's all good, man.
You love it. No, I want you to stick around. Okay.
I got a bolt then.
Well, let's just see if she answers here. Steve, could you give her another call?
It's ringing now.
Can't see if she answers. Thanks, Wayne. I mean, it's kind of a bit of a mix-up. How you doing, Kelly?
I'm good. How are you? I'm so sorry. I'm a little bit late.
Well, I pulled Wayne Peters in, and we were just getting into a conversation. He was kind enough to fill in on short notice because I didn't know what happened to you. And I kind of pulled my hair out here, and it's all good. But you're here now.
I'm so sorry.
That's okay. Listen, you're here now. Thanks for coming in. And I was actually a little bit worried. I figured, what's going on there? Because I knew you had it on your schedule. You put it up on your Facebook, and
I did.
Looking forward to the conversation today. So I know lots has happened since the last time I talked to you, Kelly. Why don't you fill us in on a few things that have gone on here in the last week?
Sure. First, I'd like to thank Wayne so much for filling in, because I know how pressed he is for time himself.
Yeah.
So thank you so much for that. Well, I'll tell you. So we occupied the legislation grounds in Edmonton, and it was completely lawful. We put up teepees in ceremony, which is customary. And I'm going to specifically use the word customary because it's absolutely necessary to comprehend the situation entirely. So the reason we did this was because there is such a vast comparison to what our Indigenous tribes went through with residential schools and what is beginning to happen to children across Canada right now and Canadian citizens. And so all of these elderly clan mothers, et cetera, you know, in defense of of our children, of the children of everyone, decided to put up a ceremony, a healing ceremony, to not only unify all people against oppressions and tyranny, but also to, in an attempt to save the children, because that's, you know, they're mothers and grandmothers, and there's nothing more important to us than our offspring. So that was the nature of this occupation, and the freedom. Edmonton Freedom Central and all of the other people that oppose the government and the COVID agenda and gather every single Saturday, you did unify. And they would have their rallies like they always do at the top of the legislature building every single Saturday morning. And they would march down and continue in ceremony with all of the different indigenous tribes that were participating. Now, mm-hmm. the sheriff, what they did is they served Patrick King with a summons to court, gave him 15 minutes to appear, of which he did, and he adjourned it for the following Friday. And when we went to court, I'm not going to say he there was a friend of ours, Leo, spoke on behalf of him. So there's a difference between representing somebody and speaking on their behalf when it comes to the syntax language that is used in legalese. So, right. But that's a whole nother show. But we basically we won in court, and the judge withdrew because from the entire matter, stating that he did not have jurisdiction to make a judgment, to pass any judgment. But he explicitly told the sheriff that they were not to use any sort of force, and that they were. Also explicitly instructed to file a new application under the Minister of Infrastructure for Alberta in order to proceed further, with motions to try to remove us off of the land. And what happened was behind closed doors, the Alberta government gave authority to Alberta Health Services to file an immediate injunction in court. And they did, and that injunction did not come into force until 9 a.m. Monday morning. However, the cockiness and the absolute disgusting sociopathic characters of the inspector of the sheriff of the Queen Bench for the Alberta Legislature, his name is Matthew Rubuliak, decided to completely contradict what he was explicitly ordered not to do in court, showed up with an entire team of goons, and I'm going to call them goons specifically because they are, at 7 a.m., unlawfully detained myself and Patrick King, beat me down from head to toe. I'm covered in 15, possibly 16 bruises. I think I found a new one in the shower this morning. And then held us. Now, when they released us, they gave us nothing but, well, they gave me nothing but a verbal warning. And they had a paper with a court date on it, but because they no longer have jurisdiction over me, as I am an internationally recognized sovereign at The Hague, which means that all the member states that participate in the United Nations International Court recognize me as a sovereign, and therefore the Crown does not have jurisdictions over me when it comes to matters like this. It does come with certain diplomacies. So they said, well, this is the paper. I'm like, and I literally told them to wipe their carcass with it, and I walked away. So, and they told me that I was not allowed to attend the legislature grounds for 60 days, but that was also nonsense as I went there yesterday and spoke at the rally. So, and that's where we're at. Now, I can't release a statement as to what we all intend to do, like the family that we built at the legislative grounds moving forward, as we are still in meetings. And we don't want to provide the Crown with any possible way out of being held accountable for the disgusting and inhumane actions. Now, what I witnessed the day that, like, when after my release was something that you would never expect to see in Canada, Barry. They dragged the elderly. They dragged them. Nobody was resisting, but they literally went into teepees and tents with loaded weapons, and they dragged the elderly, women, and children in a very violent, disgusting manner off the grounds.
You got that on video, didn't you, Kelly?
Yeah, we have it all on video. They hogtied a pregnant woman. They hogtied a pregnant woman.
Are we talking about Canada here, Kelly?
Yes, we're talking about Canada. We're talking about Canada in Edmonton, Alberta, at the legislative grounds, with a sheriff's department who is supposed to not only comprehend the full extent of their oaths and duties to protect the life, liberty, and security of the individuals that live in this country. But, like, this was barbaric. It was barbaric at best. And I'm using these terms to be as polite as possible for your viewers and your listeners. And I can't even begin to tell you the disgust I felt.
Well, if I've been there, Kelly, I don't know if I've been able to refrain myself from getting involved when I see a woman, especially elders like that, being physically assaulted by goons. And that's exactly what these people are.
It was disgusting.
It's really, you got to be shaking your head living in Canada and seeing these kind of things going on now in our society, and not a cry out across the country on mainstream media about it. You hear crickets, yep. man. So
yep.
I know I watched the videos, Kelly, and I was infuriated in what I saw. And I don't think I saw them all, but what I did see was enough to make my blood boil, man. So I'm sorry you had to go through that. I really am.
I'm sorry. You know what? The only regret that I truly have from partaking in this occupation is watching an 86-year-old woman be degraded and the attempt to strip her of all of her dignity as a clan mother. And all of her individual liberties for everything that she is, from what she believes in to her spirituality. And I praise Clan Mother Nancy Scanny for her bravery and her courage to stand there after being forced to pee at 86 years old in a cup while these disgusting armed officers stripped her ceremonial tent while she was inside of it.
You get this on video too, Kelly?
Yes, it's all on video. It is the most disgusting display of degradation and inhumanity that I have ever witnessed in our country.
I wasn't aware of that aspect of what you just talked about. I did see the videos and I was kind of looking at them. But what you're talking about, I have a hard time believing that that actually happened in Canada. I really do.
Well, you need to see the videos, Barry, because it absolutely did. And you know my character. I will put myself in any harm's
way. Well, I'm not saying I don't believe you, Kelly. Yeah,
and
I believe you.
I was completely defeated. This, and that's exactly how I felt, having to watch this and not being able to run in there and provide her some sort of relief. No matter what happened to me. And the only reason that I didn't do that is because I had my son with me. And I couldn't, and I had no pre-set up plans to, for his care. Because had I done that, for sure they would have arrested me again and probably detained me for a much longer period of time. And I didn't preset any instructions with anybody. So I couldn't, I felt defeated, and this is the first time I've ever felt defeated like that in my life, because I would have loved to take away that pain. But I am so moved by the strength in this woman, and she truly represents a strength that all women, that should exemplify in all women across this country. It is an absolutely disgusting thing to watch grown men intentionally degrade and try to rip the dignity from anyone, let alone a woman that could have mothered them herself.
Well, I'm sure a lot of people listening to the show right now are kind of shaking their heads at what I'm hearing too, Kelly, that, you know, I was aware of what went on there, but the depths of what you just described to me here in the last couple of minutes, that's got me just shaking my head. Hard to believe. I know it's true, but it's just really hard to believe that we've gone from 2 weeks to flatten the curve to this point in society in, what, 20 months now, Kelly? And if it gets bad now, just give them another couple of months. Because these guys are full on right now.
Yeah, well, here's the thing, Barry. It just validates and justifies all the work that we have all been putting in to the change in our society as a whole. So moving forward, we need to go back to what our solution is, and the only solution that truly makes sense. You know that I have the utmost respect for those, for my superiors, you know, and my elders, my own elders around me, people like Doug Force from the Mrs. Canada, Wayne Peters, Ethics Over Fear, What's Up Canada. And there is a solution, and the solution is, it is time to remove the crown from Canada. It is time to build a constitutional republic across this country and redefine what it means to be Canadian entirely. And that is what I am setting out to do. Now, my time on the legislation grounds gave me the ability to meet some extremely amazing and extremely intelligent and very key people into helping the transition of such to happen. And people like Peter Cardinal,
who I am going to be introducing to Wayne Peters and Doug Force, amongst other people who I've met along the last 2 years, with access to the means in order to develop economic independence in Canada from untapped resources that come from our Indigenous, untapped natural resources that could generate billions of dollars and millions of jobs instantly. But these groups of people that possess these untapped resources refuse to work with any crown corporation, which, you know, it just further shows that this is the right path to take to build a constitutional republic that would be constructed, you know, by a one-bodied government populated by independently elected members. You know, the second that we achieve something like that, right there, you eliminate lobbying. There goes half the problem. And the only opposition to that one body government should be the people, and they should retain the supreme and universal authority without any exceptions to remove one member of that body or the whole enchilada at any time for any reason by majority consensus vote. Now, you have everybody out there, you know, who continues to participate in a system that does not serve them. Our current political system, you know, is constructed on what they claim to be, the democratic philosophy. Now, I am going to make the argument that democracy should not be used as a philosophy in order to construct a society, but rather as a tool. And here's why. Okay. In a democratic society, 51% of a population can make all of the decisions for 49%. How does that support the evolution of individual or the protection and defense of individual liberties? It does not. And so my argument would be that democracy should rather be used as a tool. And every single tool must come with a set of rules so you don't cut your fingers off. And that set of rules should be a proper constitution. And the truth is this, the current existing political parties, you know, they present a constitution that is supposed to represent the people, and yet they have their own political constitutions within their own political parties, of which they all swear by. So they don't even represent the constitution they claim to represent their own. They don't even swear oath to the people. They swear oath to that constitution, to their party, and allegiances to a queen who has long since passed and a crown that does not serve the people. So to everyone listening out there, stop participating in a system that does not serve you. And log on to the MrsCanada.com, click on the subtitle, Solutions, and start at Lesson 1. Learn what a constitution is. The importance of it, how to construct it, because we are going to start setting out on a path across this entire country in order to host town halls, community meetings, private meetings within homes to teach our people how to build and construct these constitutions. And if we have a committed and joint effort within just the freedom movement that we have built over the last 2 years in defense of these lockdowns, restrictions, and COVID ideologies, then in 2 to 4 years, we can throw the crown and the system that does not serve us from this land, and we can install a constitutional republic that can be exemplified around the world. You know, what does it mean to be Canadian to every single one of you that are listening? Remember, there used to be a pride to being Canadian, but it was a false pride. It was a false pride, but we have it within our means to change that right now. You know, we're currently looking for sponsors. We're going to be calling this project The Road to Independence, and I am committed. I am 100% committed to working day in and day out and traveling for as long as it takes to start developing independence on every single current level of government that exists. If we can replace the current sitting structure with independence over the next 2 to 4 years, we can overthrow the system and transfer the institutions without any war, and without any negative effect to the millions of Canadians that are dependent on these current institutions. And then we can sit down in our independent constitutional republic and start cleaning out every single one of these institutions accordingly for the benefit of the greater good. So, you know, and this is going to be the focus. This is where I'm heading from here. And I am so grateful and so thankful to have the intelligence and, you know, and confidence of all of my superiors, you know, from Doug Force to Wayne Peters, the Mrs. Canada, What's Up Canada, Ethics Over Fear, and all of the new organizations that have developed across this entire country. Stand Up Canada and Paula Tucci and Shirley Gerton, you know, Take Action Canada and Sandy Sable, like everybody, and Chuck Black, my partner for Freedom Forum Canada. Mm. You know, these people are all my seniors, much more experienced than I am. And I will be heading out on their guidance.
Well, we see a concerted effort now rising in Canada of people getting involved, Kelly, and I've seen a real change here in attitudes here in the last 3 or 4 months, especially that I'm seeing people get involved now in ways that I didn't think I'd see the public get involved. We are up against the wall. You're right about changing our system of government in Canada, because the system we have in place right now does not serve the people in any shape or form. My question is going to be, is how bad is it going to get in Canada before people will actually embrace this kind of ideology that we're talking about? Not ideology, a new way of doing governments in Canada that actually serve the people. How bad is it going to get in our society before people are ready to embrace this? Because a lot of people are still in this right-left paradigm. We had the election, you know, everybody voted for their man, and now we've got another 4 years of dictatorship ahead of us. We got to change this quick, Kelly. We do.
Yeah.
Because their power base is getting really, really broad. Go ahead.
Yeah, it comes down to the comprehension of principles. And the truth is this, 95% of every population parrots the principles of another, okay, of other people. And like people need to define what individual liberty is in order to be able to stand on it and to defend it. And to claim it as their own values, okay? People need to learn the importance of individual liberty, you know? And it's as simple as this. We don't have to agree with each other, but we absolutely have to respect one another, okay? There is a law to the nature of things. And whether you're Christian, whether you're spiritual, whether you're Catholic, whatever you believe in, okay? There, the nature of things and these laws apply. And that one law is that which cannot adapt and evolve will perish and die. And there is nothing nobody can do about it. No matter what kind of technology you build, no matter what kind of precautionary measures you take, nature is nature. And it is wild and does what it wants. And just like the truth, it does not care how you feel about it. So you learn to adapt and evolve, or you will perish and you will die. And this is just a fact. So this is why it is so important. Excuse me, one second. I took a sip of water, went down the wrong side.
I hate when that happens.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Terrible.
It's trickling. So this is why it is so important for people to comprehend that if you don't respect the law of nature, you are going to participate in your own demise. Oh my goodness, it's so bad.
That's okay. So, take your time.
Sorry, guys. Okay, I think we're good now. And I think we are, but I could be wrong.
I'm not laughing, but I'm chuckling. Okay, go ahead.
You're laughing with me. You're not laughing.
I'm laughing with you, of course, because I've done it myself.
Yeah. So you know,
and then you tell yourself, don't drink and talk at the same time. Go ahead.
Well, I'm trying to do it again, but I don't want to be parched either. And I'm always parched. I talk so much. So I do blabbermouth. I'm always blabbing. Sometimes I should probably refrain from doing so many lives on my Instagram because I just end up babbling sometimes. So
that's all good. Okay. That's all good.
Everything I say, I will stand by. Everything I say, I will stand by. And if I am wrong, I will own it. I will always own it. So why? Because you can't reach, solutions unless you can take responsibility for yourself. You know, and it's time for everybody, you know, the problem and the reason why it takes so long to raise an entire nation, you know, towards an evolutionary path is because of lack of information. I truly believe that Canada has one of the most intelligent populations on earth. I truly believe that. But they have done so good for themselves, our oppressors, in, you know, taking three full generations to indoctrinate our population. Mm. And they were very meticulous in their design of things. But this can be unraveled. You know, it can be unraveled by merely supplying the resources and encouraging the nerve to look at those resources. And this is why, you know, I always tell people, people are like, you know, I tried to teach this person. Stop trying to teach each other. When you attempt to teach some another adult something, first of all, no individual, whether they're an adult or a child, likes to feel stupid. Okay? We don't like to feel stupid. We are arrogant beings. We are arrogant, reactionary beings. That is the psychology of what we are. And this has been taken advantage of, okay? And it is our, we need to start practicing what real responsibility is. And what real responsibility is the ability to respond over our nature, to react, okay? We are born with moral integrity. We can scratch each other, you know, and I often like to use this scenario. You can put a baby of every color, creed, race, and belief into a playpen. They will curse and cuss and fight and scratch, and, you know, and steal each other's toys. But once you pick them up and take them away from each other, guess what? They're going to miss each other. Because why? Because they learn from one another. Okay, what is the purpose to our existence? The purpose to our existence is to learn and love one another. Because without learning from each other, there is no adaptation. There's no evolution. You know, if we're all the same, what would be the purpose of life? There'd be no purpose, nothing to taste, touch, feel, experience. You know, and these are the things that we need to key into in order to encourage people to have the guts to look at the resources they require to access the information they need to give them the nerve to stand as one people in defense against a common enemy and make the changes necessary to provide the one obligation we all have, regardless of our differences. And that is to provide our children with a better world than one we were given.
I think, Kelly, at this point, if mothers across Canada were given the information necessary about what exactly is going on in our country, you would see a rise of the mama bear, that she would rise and put a stop to this. And that's what I'm praying happens here in the next short period of time, is that mothers across this country really start to understand what they're doing with these vaccine injections and how they're proposing to put these into age 5-year-old children. Is absolutely beyond insanity. These people are very, very evil people. And I just hope and pray that mothers across this country really get it in the next short period of time, because what they're proposing with children, that has absolutely got me ready to pull my hair out, Kelly. I don't know how you feel about that, but I'm ready to scream at the top of a mountain.
Yeah, well, it's I'll say this much. I'm getting tired. This is the fifth time I have had been physically attacked and beaten up in defense of the freedoms and individual liberties of us all, from our elders to each other. And I'll say that every single person, every one of you out there is worth every single one of these bruises, but I'm getting tired. And I'm getting very tired, and it's not helping my health. And I am a mother. And my children are getting worried. Although they comprehend my position and they encourage me and they pray for me all the time, you know, they're getting scared. Every
time I take another beating, I have to worry about my kids worrying about me. I need the help of our nation. I need the help of our entire nation, all peoples, no matter your color, creed, race, religion, belief, spirituality, or even your ego. I need the help of everyone to settle their hearts and minds in peace. I need the help of everyone. I should not have to take these beatings at all. So, unfortunately, Barry, I've got to run.
You've got to run on me.
I do. I got to run on you because my son is begging me to take him out for a costume and I haven't gotten it yet. I'm so sorry.
Okay, well, that's fine. Me and Steve can carry on a conversation for 15 minutes. I got Jurgen coming in about 15 minutes. So if you have to run, Kelly, go ahead and run. Thanks for coming in and having a chat. No, that's fine. Well, thanks for coming in. And we'll have to do this again in the near future sometime.
Yes, we will. We will. And hopefully on a Zoom, too. I'd like to bring you into that Zoom call, Barry, as well, when I put everybody together, all these different key factors.
Here, just let me know when.
I will, absolutely. So thank you so much again for having me on your show.
Sir, you've taken the beatings you've taken, Kelly. Nobody should take that in their life. And to take that and keep coming back absolutely speaks volumes about your character. So thanks for what you're doing for our country.
Yes, and I'm so sorry. Once again, I'm so sorry I got to run, but I have to give him some time. He's been very scared lately, especially with
the No problem at all, Kelly. We'll do this again soon.
Okay, and I love you all very much. All right, have a wonderful day.
Do you want a quick song, Barry?
Yeah, we'll take a quick song break, and then we can chat for a few minutes, and then it'll be time for Yuri to come in, guys. Sorry about that.
I got about 3.5 minutes on, so...
Oh, well, that was kind of like, I didn't know she had to leave like that. That kind of caught me off guard, but that's okay.
Yeah. I'll go ahead and put the song on.
Sure. Well, thanks, Kelly, again for coming in. I didn't know she had to leave short on short notice there, folks, but I will have her back in again soon. Love talking with that girl. Steve and me are just going to talk about maybe some of the going-ons. We talked off air here for a minute, and I think talking about some of the going-ons in the United States of America right now, I'm watching very closely what goes on in the States. People ask me all the time, why do you worry about what's going on in the States? Well, as they go, we go here in Canada. We're tied to the hip, whether we like it or not. And some of the things I see going on down there, Steve, none of it makes any sense at all. But I'll tell you the biggest pet peeve I've got right now with your government and the Democrats is the bill they just passed on term abortion, where you can literally take a child a day before it's going to come into the earth and be a human being, fully developed, ready to go, can feel just any kind of pain that a baby would feel, and they're allowing that to be terminated a day before birth. That, to me, is that's right from the pits of hell, Steve. I don't know how you feel about that, but that, to me, is one of the most atrocious things I've ever seen out of a government in my life. What do you think on that?
Let's go, Brandon. Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
What are we talking? Yeah. No, I thought that was at least two or three states. Three or four years ago, or maybe even 5 years ago, that did the partial birth abortion thing. That was, you know, the baby's head is fully out of the mother's womb, and they jab a knife into the head and suck the baby's brains out. And then, well, sorry to get so graphic, but that's what a partial birth abortion is. But I thought that was like at least three or four years ago, if not even longer than that. I think New York's had that for a while, and probably Massachusetts, and maybe even a few other the East Coast states. But I don't see this the day before birth or anything as being anything more than a non-issue, because, you know, they've been able to, well, what they say with legalese, legally talking, legally speaking, you know, we passed a law in air quotations that we are allowed to kill an infant at any time that we choose to. That's been quite a few years that this has been implemented, but, you know, it just,
I wasn't aware of that at all.
It just serves to fortify the wickedness, in my opinion. I mean, I don't, you know, I keep telling every Marxist that I come across, because basically, I don't call them communists anymore. It's Marxist indoctrination, you know. I mean, you have no argument. Back in the 70s and 80s, they called a baby a parasite. You know, technically an infant is parasitic to a woman. It is feeding off a woman. So, you know, you can kill a parasite if you're a doctor.
Well, you can say the same thing about any animal in nature today. Any creature on the earth is sure dependent on the parent.
Well, we're
going to call them all parasites?
Not almost any of them. You know, snakes give
laid. With the exception, of course. Things yeah, there's eggs go away, turtles, sure, and stuff like that.
But sure,
a good percentage of the animal world is a situation where the infant is dependent on the parent.
Correct. I mean, for the vast majority of baby, whatever the animal is, they are dependent on their mother. Absolutely, for some amount of time. And there was even some states on the eastern coast of America a few years ago that wanted to introduce killing a child even up to 3 years after it was born, whether it was a boy or a girl, especially boys, you know, because they're evil.
That's news to me. Hey, one thing I'll tell you about what's happened in Canada here that's kind of been an inspiration to a lot of people here in the last week or so is the former head of Justin Trudeau's security started a site called Mounties for Freedom.
Justin Castro?
Yeah, and I'll tell you something, Steve. It's got the whole country kind of rallying right now behind this organization. I went this morning and looked at all the support groups that are involved now with this statement made to the commissioner of the RCMP, a lady named Brenda Leckie, who was handpicked by Justin Trudeau. And if you look into her background, you'll find out that she's got extensive globalist economic Agenda 21 ties in her background. She was handpicked and appointed by Justin Trudeau. These members of the RCMP have wrote an open letter to her, and I'm just saying that people go onto the site called Mounties for Freedom and punch on the open letter and read what is being said by some of the top RCMP people in Canada now to the commissioner of the RCMP. It really is one of the best letters I've seen. It is going viral in Canada, and people are going, hey, finally we've got something with a little bit of teeth standing up to the insanity going on in our government.
Yeah,
it's inspiring, Steve. I've looked at the list of and people, you got to go look at this yourself. The list of agencies and police forces all across the country, and the list is huge now of agencies that have signed on with this group that have finally come forward and are telling the government to go pound sand. So that's been the most inspiring thing I've seen in Canada. Some real pushback against this absolute insanity in our country, Steve.
I'll even go one further. I'll guarantee if somebody would trace her ancestral lineage, she is probably related to a lot of these people that are pushing this Agenda 21, World Economic Forum.
We know the bloodlines are real, for sure. Go ahead.
And she is also Jesuit / Catholic trained at mm-hmm. some Jesuit university. And also, like I just mentioned a second ago, you know, she's related probably in second, third, fourth, or some sort of a cousin of the rest of these people too.
Well, here's another thought for you too. I looked into her background and her qualifications to be appointed as the commissioner of the RCMP, and there was a list of at least 12 or 14, I think, on the list that were way more qualified, way more, what's the word I'm looking for? Way more qualified to sit in that position. Yet Justin Trudeau picked her specifically for the role. And of course, we know why that is, because she is working for Justin Trudeau, that the RCMP refused to enforce the law in Canada. And we saw that with SNC. We've seen it with so many situations with this government where the law, had it been applied, members of parliament would be in jail right now, Steve. But of course, the RCMP are being ordered to stand down, and it's all coming from the top.
Well, sure.
I had a conversation, Steve. I'll let you talk here, but I had a conversation with a member here in town, Terrace, and he said this, and it rings in my ears every day, that, you know, all the members in the detachment here in town, I played hockey with the guy. I don't engage in conversations as a rule with RCMP, but I sat and had a chat with him for a few minutes, and he told me, Barry, he says, every member in the detachment in Terrace are disgusted with what they see going on at the upper echelons of the RCMP. Go ahead, Steve.
Well, I was only going to mention that for the vast majority of Australia, the people that they're dealing with, there are some Australian police that are doing this to the people. Jürgen just sent me a message just a second ago about he's ready, but you know, the UN and NATO troops are doing that to the Australian people over there, and they're going to start doing that to other countries too, because, you know, everybody else in the world is putting up with Australia the way they are. Basically, there's some European countries that are protesting and rioting, but you know, that's doesn't mean anything to them, because, well, I don't know if you've seen what I posted in the chat a little while ago about a link. You probably haven't seen it yet because you were talking to Kelly, but there was a video I caught this morning. It was concerning the election theft. So I don't really know where it was at. It could have been Michigan, it could be Ohio, it could be Georgia, it could be Arizona, it could be some other state. But there was a guy that stood up in front of an audience talking to, I think, probably legislators, or I don't really know what the case was, but he said, when did we start when did we get to start using our guns? And then he explained, you know, when did we get to use the guns to kill these people? How many more elections have to be stolen before we start killing these people? And, you know, I really don't know why he would do that, but, you know, that's going to be the sentiment of literally millions all around the world, not just here in America. You know, there's, what is it, 75 million people that felt that they got jilted out of an election last year.
biggest theft in history.
Yeah. Well, you know,
unbelievable.
I still say to this day that it was all a theater. But you know, that's just my opinion. Opinions are like armpits; they all stink, and everybody has one.
Well, I wouldn't know. I wouldn't go as far as to say they stink, but definitely we all have opinions.
Yeah,
it's just we have to be able to listen to other people's opinions without getting our shackles up.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I see that so much now in society, even with some of the sheeple that I talk to in downtown Terrace. They're just completely still sold on the system, Steve.
So just before we do break for the hour here, and I've been doing this for very, very close to 13 years now. I started in the late winter. I actually started Christmas 2008. That's when I started doing this. I first got my first computer. It was, you know, January and February when I first really started into activism. But right after Barry Sitaro's first election or selection. Yeah. But, you know, I went through all the scenarios and knowing what I know about the right wing and the left wing of America, you know, I said to myself, this is not going to end pretty. They will not relinquish their stronghold on power without a physical struggle, without a physical fight. And I still believe that today because they've been pushing us for 100 plus years.
Way before the start of the Vietnam War.
About 100 plus years, yeah. Start of the 20th century, actually.
The Spanish War.
Started the
attack on the Maine.
Yep.
False flags and how many they've used. Blah, blah, blah. And Gulf of Tonkin incident. Everything else they've done to society and got away with. 9/11, the biggest scam in history.
Absolutely.
Biggest lie in history, and it's still standing.
Absolutely.
We're going to have Jurgen back in about 4 minutes here, folks. So I'm going to take a break for a couple. And thanks for chatting for a few minutes, Steve. But yeah, we'll take a break for five. And I know Jurgen's got lots to say today. He's kind of a little bit peed off, to say the least. So look out, folks. Sit down and batten down the hatches. I'm gonna unleash the Jurgen. Well, welcome back, third hour, folks, and thanks again for Kelly coming in and Steve filling in for that second hour. Always fun talking with her. We got Jürgen Wohlrath in for the third hour here, and just before we came back on the air, we got started talking about stuff that kind of makes me want to smile and brings a lot better attitude inside my brain than stuff that we have to talk about today. And that's, of course, we're talking about cannabis and cannabis oil and blah, blah, blah. And it really kind of lifts me up a little bit when we start talking about that, because I look at the potential of what it can do for the world. And one of these days, the world's going to embrace it and things are going to change in our society for the good. Anyways, Jürgen, all that being said, thanks for coming in and joining me for another hour. Always good having you in. And I enjoy our conversations because they're pretty lively and people like it when you get mad. I said that before we went on the air here, Jürgen, because you get going, buddy. When you get pissed off, it's almost entertaining to listen to. So what do I got to do to push your button today, my friend?
Well, that's quite the introduction. Thanks a lot, Barry. I'm very happy to hear that people get a thrill out of me getting PO'd. That's pretty good. that makes me feel pretty good. I must be doing a job then, because if I can push people's buttons, that's what I like to do. That's a thing I like to do on Facebook these days, is I just poke it to see how much of a suspension I can get. I just keep poking and poking.
I see it all the time.
I feel that's what we've got to do. I mean, people have told me for so long, you know, what are you still doing on Facebook? Get off of it. Get off. And every day I think I'm going to sign off today. Today's the day I'm going to tell them I've had enough of your censorship and enough of your crap, and I'm going to get off of it. But then I think to myself, you know what? You have to be in the ranks of the enemy if you plan to defeat them. If we all leave the ranks of the enemy, we have to have people within to destroy the enemy. You cannot destroy the enemy just from without. You need people within. And so I just keep poking and poking, and hopefully at some point we can break through. But let's all just keep poking.
Well, I'll tell you, Jürgen, some of the funnies that you sent me and the little memes you sent me here in the last month get chuckles out of me. And you know what? It's really necessary, because all day long we have to look at all this other crap that's going on and how depressing it is and all the bad stuff that we have to look at. We got to be able to talk about it, give our opinions on these things, but it really kind of drains me down. And then I come across a meme from you and it just puts a smile on my face. So keep doing what you're doing. I think you're having the same effect on other people. It's really necessary to get a chuckle out of people right now, because we are under a lot of stress, to say the least.
Yeah, and it's stress that no one is accustomed to. I mean, who would have ever thought in our lifetime that we would have to put up with something like this plandemic, scandemic, this force of nature upon us that is created by humans willing to subvert the natural nature of humanity that wants to thrive with love and abundance and help for all. And you've got this segment of society that believes that we should just take from those that work hard and give to those who sit on their couch and do absolutely nothing. And I made that comment, you know, basically this past week, because I was really you talk about me getting angry and people like that. Well, there was a point this week where I got so upset at these women on The View again, you know, creaming any notion that Alec Baldwin is guilty of shooting that gun. I mean, they are circling the wagons around that clown. I just cannot believe how you see these people circling their wagons around this guy that for 5 years did nothing but pour hate and vitriol on late night Saturday night television. This guy was one of the most hateful people on the planet, creating ugliness every Saturday night that people clapped to and enjoyed and laughed, to the point where they got sick of it. I think a lot of people got sick of it at the end, because his impersonations just got so bloody tiring. I don't see how anybody could watch that after a while, right? Now, here he is on a movie set where he's the executive producer. He's responsible for the payment of people to do a proper job. And because he's a cheapskate millionaire and doesn't like paying people, he had a bunch of people on his job site that he was paying minimum wage to, and now they're deflecting all the blame from him. It is absolutely disgusting. This guy needs to go to jail. He murdered somebody on site. You know, the first rule of anybody knows, you never point a weapon at anybody, and you never put your finger on the trigger, especially when you're pointing your gun at somebody, unless you mean to shoot it.
Absolutely. Though I'm going to play the part of a dummy here. Did he have a late night show, this Alec Baldwin? Because I, honest to God, if he did, I never watched it once in my life. So that's news to me. I didn't know he had a late night show.
Yeah, he is Saturday Night Live. He was on every Saturday night doing the Donald Trump impersonation. Every Saturday night, right?
Well, that's how much I watch TV, Jürgen. I don't watch it, so I don't know. So this is news to me.
I never watched it either. I just knew it was happening. It was disgusting, the fact that he would do it every freaking Saturday night, to the point where – and all the clapping seals, of course, in the audience, all the people are propagandized to believe that Trump is the worst incarnation since the devil walked the earth, you know? It's disgusting, and I've always been under the belief he who screams the loudest has the most to hide. And the person who's been screaming the loudest for 5 years is Alec Baldwin. What's he got to hide? That girl that was killed, she was working on a documentary for human trafficking and pedophilia. That was coming up her next. That was one of her projects. And all of a sudden, she gets murdered? What's going
imagine
on
imagine that. I
heard
is
a story. I just heard a story. Yeah. Where Alec Baldwin is seeking to become a higher level Freemason, and in order to do that, you need to murder somebody. Now, I don't know whether that's true or not. I have no idea. I don't involve myself in those societal circles that are so secret and above all of us, right? But it wouldn't be beyond the pale to believe that they would have to do some kind of action like that to be rewarded by these demonic entities that are above us all, that control us all.
When people, when people hear that kind of conversation, Jürgen, a lot of people, when you get involved in that kind of conversation we're having right now, immediately they turn off because they just cannot believe that there's people that evil. Just let me finish here for a second, Steve. That there's people that evil living in our world, but they are. These people are right out of the pits of hell, my friend. I don't know how else to describe them. Yes, Steve.
I'll go even one further for you, Jürgen and Barry. Her husband was a Clinton lawyer.
Yes. Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. Imagine that. Okay, so let's cross the T's and dot the I's, and what do we have? Another Seth. Another Seth. Or who else has been doped here or knocked off in the last 10 years by these elites? We could talk about all kinds of people that have had death by suicide, 3 shots in the back of the head.
Yeah. Yeah. No, absolutely true. I mean, you look at the connections of everything. When you look at Fauci, you look at the Baldwins, you look at the Kardashians, you look at all of that and how everything is tied together, it's just enough to drive you crazy. When you look at the heads of corporations and you see how people in Pfizer switch with the FDA, and the CEO goes over there, then he goes over there.
It's a revolving door.
Yeah, it's a revolving door of the same people at the top, and these are the ones that are dictating policy for all of us. I mean, it's insane that mankind does not rise up and say enough is enough. And I can picture a day where, like they did in the Ukraine one day, where they just went into these offices and pulled these guys out and threw them in the dumpster.
Yeah.
Enough.
Yeah, I went this week because I haven't looked into it for a while, but I went and looked into the Bohemian Grove a little bit this week, and I kind of went through a whole bunch of documentations and stuff that's available on it. And a lot of people don't talk about that, but those meetings are still going on to this day, Jürgen.
Yeah.
And if people really knew what was going on there, the creation of care, I believe, is a ceremonial song that they play. What these people go through for rituals. These are top executives running top corporations in our world today. And some of the stuff they do there is pretty creepy, man, to say the least.
Oh, it is.
The people, like I said, these are the people that are running our world. Well, you wonder why our society is coming apart at the seams right now. Period. Yep. And it is. It is coming apart.
And what they're teaching the kids and what we're seeing, though, however, is I think I'm starting to see a resolve, especially from mothers and from parents, to fight back against the institutions that are doing this to us, specifically the learning institutions. You're seeing more and more parents going to these meetings. So what's happening now is you're seeing that these wicked leaders don't like the fact that parents are showing up to these meetings, to the point where the president basically says that parents are domestic terrorists. And everything was fine at these school board meetings until these radical parents started showing up. Well, excuse me, radical parents who want to protect their children are domestic terrorists? Are you kidding me? This is what it's gotten to. But what we're seeing is a resolve from mothers and fathers to say, you know what? You're not taking my children, because that's what they're doing. They're coming for their kids. They're not coming for their kids. They're already here taking the kids, right?
Well, they're going to be lined up in school, sticking the poison in their arms. Are we going to allow that to go on as a society?
No, we're not.
If I have anything to say about it, and I, you know, people now are really starting to stand against that. That is absolute insanity. This is a push like I've never seen before. We've never seen as a society have seen a push like we're seeing right now with these vaccines. All the information that's coming out, it's absolutely mind-boggling. I was talking in the last hour there about Mounties for Freedom. I'm sure you're aware of that site by now, Jürgen? And what's going on with that? Mounties for Freedom?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, for sure. I signed up.
Yeah, so did I. I went there yesterday and I looked at the expanded lists of supporters of the organization. And we're not hearing a single word about this on mainstream yet. Not a peep. Nope. But what Canadians need to know and what people need to know right now is that the Mounties are signing on in droves, that the list of organizations right across the country, all these different police organizations have now signed on. And this has all been in the last, 10 or 12 days, more so in the last week, where the list has actually gone up about 18% in 4 days of people that are signing on. It's huge. I better go look at it again, but it's getting up there, Jürgen, where it's going to get to a point here, and they're going to get to a point, and it's coming real soon, that the mainstream media is not going to be able to keep this away from the public, that the public's going to hear that there's a massive amount of push against police organizations right across the country telling the government to go pound sand as far as these vaccine mandates in our society. This could be the turning point. I believe it will be. I read the open letter. There's an open letter there, folks, and I urge you guys, if you want to read a really good letter, just go to Mounties for Freedom. It's Mounties, the number 4, Freedom. And there's a link on the bottom. It says open letter. And that letter was wrote to Brenda Leckie, who is the commissioner of the RCMP, handpicked by Justin Trudeau. I was talking the last hour, Jürgen, you're probably aware of her background, but her globalist ties are undeniable. And she was handpicked. There was I read two articles on her a couple of years ago that there was 13 people that had 13 or 14 people that should have been appointed as commissioner of the RCMP that weren't. And Justin Trudeau stepped in and appointed her by hand, of course. And we know why she was put in place and blah, blah, blah. The rest is all what we know about the prosecution of criminals in Canada by the RCMP now. It's a joke. But this is the first time that we've seen an RCMP officer. This guy was the head of Justin Trudeau's security, what they call the sniper team, folks. So this guy's got some real bite to him. He's not some guy standing out behind McDonald's with his tinfoil hat on saying, hey, there's something wrong in our government. I urge everybody to go read that open letter to the commissioner of the RCMP signed by these officers that are signing on by the thousands now in the country, by the thousands. Go ahead. It's the most encouraging thing I've seen so far.
Yeah, I've reached
out to him. Yeah.
No, I did too. I was, as soon as I saw it, I signed up. I had it sent.
Oh yeah, instantly.
A fellow patriot back east, and as soon as I saw it, I read it. It's an expansive document too, as well. I mean, there's a lot of points in that thing. It's just I started reading it. I didn't realize how big an article it was, but boy, they're very precise and they nailed everything to the wall.
They nailed it right to the wall. They did, Jürgen. That's why I'm urging. The document is a little bit long, folks. I mean, I read slow. And it probably took me a good half hour to go through it and comprehend what was being said.
There's a lot there.
But it's worth every minute of your time right now to go read that document. Like I said, Jürgen, it's finally something in Canada that's coming from people with a little bit of teeth. And that is so necessary right now, because this government, what they're doing to us is criminal. It's beyond criminal. It's war crimes against humanity. What they're doing with this COVID-19 vaccine rollout across this country is absolutely violations of 7 of the Nuremberg codes that I could figure out. And I read all 9 or 10 of the codes. And as far as I can figure, they're blatantly violating 7 of them. Talk about your charter rights and freedoms. Talk about any document written to protect human rights in the last 30, 40 years. It's just being stomped on and nothing's being said about it.
Yeah. And people are listening to a guy who loves to experiment with dogs and putting their heads in cages and letting sandflies eat them, and he enjoys that kind of stuff. If you're on his side, you're probably on the wrong side.
I shouldn't laugh. That's not funny.
Yeah, if you appreciate that kind of experimentation, you probably don't believe in belong on the planet. If you're one of these people that believes that we should strengthen Ebola to make sure it hurts people quicker than it does now, then you probably don't belong on the planet. If you're one of these people who believes that we should experiment with all of these different diseases and make them even more effective on killing mankind, then you don't belong on the planet. Right?
It's good, we need good for business,
that
though.
Are going to research things that are going to help mankind, not help destroy mankind, because these are the things that destroy mankind. These are the things that kill people. We do not need to fund people and paying them $600,000 a year or $400,000, whatever Fauci is making, to experiment on dogs and sand flies and whatever the heck else he's experimenting on. We need them to find cures for us for all the diseases. That's what we need them for.
Well, the more diseases, the more money, Jürgen. We look at how all this works around big pharma and who's making billions of dollars off this destruction of the. It's sad. It really is. But the part that bothers me the most right now, Jürgen, is they're coming after our kids. And this has got to be stopped, folks. You cannot allow these evil, I can't use the words I want to use on the radio of how I feel about these people. But these people are evil, evil, evil. The only thing that brings me solace and some form of peace, Jürgen, is I know one day they're going to hurt. They're hurting a lot of people, and they're going to destroy a lot of people, but there's going to be a day that they're going to have to stand and answer for what they've done, boy. And I'll tell you, I wouldn't want to be in their shoes. And that's the only thing that brings me peace about this whole situation, because I know it's in my Lord Jesus' hands. And one day he is going to stand in front of these people, and they're going to stand in front of him, and justice will be done, and they'll end up where they belong. And that's the only thing that brings peace in my life, because these people are just beyond anything I thought I'd see in my lifetime. Honestly, it really is.
I was ready to go postal this week if I can tell you a story, an anecdote of what just happened in our family.
Go ahead.
My little 2-year-old granddaughter, she's a dainty little doll. She had a seizure and had to go to the hospital. So what did they do? They took one of those friggin' swabs and stuck it up her nose. That's what they did. They didn't check for the seizure first. They had to make sure that they checked for COVID. They had to stick that friggin' swab up her nose. They couldn't take a saliva sample. No. They had to stick the swab up her nose. And then they misdiagnosed. And here's the thing. Went to emergency, of course. There wasn't a doctor available till 9 in the morning. Apparently, nobody gets sick before 9 in the morning in Medicine Hat.
Mm.
There was no doctor at the emergency ward, right? So that was the first thing. Had to wait for the doctor. Oh, she's sick, but we'll wait. The doctor, you know, he works 9 to 5. That's when people get sick in Medicine Hat or get injured. And nobody gets injured outside of those hours, apparently. They did that. And the first night, they wouldn't let mom stay in the room because she's breastfeeding the little boy that was born last year, who's not quite a year old yet. So, of course, the little girl wanted to be with mommy, but of course, mommy wasn't allowed to stay. So daddy stayed. Of course, the second night, because she was so upset the first night, they let mommy and Ozzy stay, the little baby boy, the second night. But when they tried to give her intravenous, it took 5 shots, 5 times. My son had to hold her down as she was screaming. 5 times they couldn't find a vein for my little granddaughter. And she's screaming in pain. She's screaming. My son is crying, holding her down. They found she had pneumonia in one lung, apparently. She's on antibiotics. She's out of the hospital now. But I'm just here to tell you that. You're right. They're coming for the kids. They have no. There's no doubt about it. I mean, I was blown away. I could not believe that, first of all, they have to stick a swab up a two-year-old child's nose.
You know how close that gets to the brain when they do that, Jürgen?
I know.
Unbelievable.
I'm so angry with that. It just kills me, the thought of they did that. What are we? What have we become? And what are these people that are following these orders? What are they? Are they human beings? Do they care? Are they just part of a cult now? They just follow along? Everything that the government says is right? We don't question anything? Here's what I wrote. I put this up on Facebook, I think, yesterday. Picture the truth as a strong elastic band. And it's being pulled back and stretched tighter and tighter, right? It's a really thick elastic band. And it's been being pulled back forever, for a long time. Shiny, glittery propaganda and lies become weak and rusted over time and cannot stand up to the truth. The fingers of deception that are pulling this elastic band become weak as the strength of the elastic fights to free itself and launch into the consciousness. Now picture the fingers ever weakening on this elastic band and finally letting go. What's going to happen is the truth is going to explode and destroy false realities that are out there right now. And there is going to be a mass percentage of the population that is not going to be able to handle it because they can't handle one iota of the truth as it stands today because they've fallen under the hypnosis of the government propaganda. Fully and completely to the point where you can't even talk to them. They hate you for bringing up any kind of a subject that goes against the official narrative.
Yep.
They hate you, right?
Yep.
So that's my analogy of what I believe is going to happen. The truth is like that elastic band. And when it comes out, boy, oh boy, there are going to be people that are not going to be able to take the brunt of that elastic band hitting them full-fledged, right smack dab in the middle of the forehead.
It'll be a joyous day for sure.
Oh boy. Jürgen. Hallelujah.
If there's justice, in this world, there is people that absolutely deserve it right now. And I pray every day that they get what's coming to them because the grief and the destruction these people have caused in our society over a flu virus. I looked at, the numbers of children in Canada that they claim have died from COVID-19. And you know what the number is total, Jürgen, across the country since the start of this, since the start of the pandemic? The number I saw on one site was 7 children they're claiming were killed by COVID. But comorbidity factors in 5 of those children were directly responsible for their deaths. So if this report, this is the government, I wanted people to go look at Health Canada and look at the numbers of, they break it down exactly by age, what they're claiming. It's absolutely astounding that we would even tolerate the idea of injecting children with an experimental vaccine, because it's not a vaccine. It's gene technology where they're telling the body to do things that the body is just going to rebel against, and it's going to cause autoimmune disorders in our society. You look at the list of negative effects from this so-called jab since it started, and it just absolutely boggles my mind what's going on with this. And now they want to stick it in 5-year-old children. What do you think is going to happen, Jürgen? How many of them are going to die before people say, hey, let's put a stop to this? And how many are going to have it in their body before it does come to a stop? We shouldn't be having this conversation, my friend. Because there is absolutely no logic to it, none whatsoever. Period.
Well, the good news is that the nurses have joined a union in Kamloops and opened up a wellness center for unvaccinated people.
Ezra Health Agencies are called, guys. Go punch it up on the internet right now.
And this is what I've been saying. Parallel systems need to arrive, and that will save us. We create parallel systems.
Sorry, go ahead. I just got to share something. I was actually talking to one of the representatives the other day. I can't remember the gentleman's name, okay? But he's telling me that they're going to be opening up clinics right across the country. And I said, well, can you put Terrace BC on the list? He says, I'll put it on the list because we got Terrace, we got Prince Rupert, and we got Kitimat. So we got a pretty good population base. Get one open up here. He chuckles, said, I'll look into it right away. But go ahead, Jürgen.
That is
I was awesome. Actually talking. I'm trying to get them on my show here, Jürgen, is what I'm trying to do. I reached out
Excellent.
To them. Go ahead.
Excellent.
Go ahead.
Yeah, well, you should, because this is where we need to go. Parallel systems for everything need to open up now. Everything. Now is the opportunity for entrepreneurs to say, listen, I'm not taking the jab. I don't care what you do. And I'm going to open up a business that's going to cater to anyone that has an open mind and believes in a free society, period. And you can come into my store, whether you're vaccinated or unvaccinated, with a mask or without a mask. It's your choice. It's about freedom, freedom of choice. Do what you believe is best for you. It's your body. You do what you think is right for you. I don't have a right to tell you what you should do with your body. But that's what they're doing to us. They're telling us that it's my body, their choice. Well, you know what? The heck with you. It's my body, my choice. I'm sticking with that. And I'm going with that from now till the end of my day. Much like our friend Guy Annabelle, who decided that it was his choice to end his life on Friday, which is one of the saddest days I've ever come across lately, knowing that my buddy and fellow patriot has decided to take his life. But I'm of the opinion that it was his choice. It's not up to us to judge him. His judgment will come from the Lord, and that's it was his decision to make. We can't, you know, I've had so many thoughts pro and con about this. It just kills me inside.
Yeah, me too.
The fact that we have made a death culture, that we've created a death culture over decades, specifically in our country. I mean, they love killing babies. Abortion is a big thing. They love killing older people. It just seems that we've gone down a slippery slope where death is welcomed with open arms, and life is something that, well, at 75, your life should be over because you really don't contribute much anymore. And
you're really disgusting.
Yeah, it's disgusting the way they formed us and made us into this useless entity. You know, useless eaters, they call us all, right?
Yeah, I'm sad to see Guy too go, but I have a very different opinion about that. And I'm not going to – I'd probably rock the boat if I said what I actually feel about that situation. But going back to what my Bible says about life and death and who has the right to take it and who doesn't, I'm just going to stick with that right now, and I'll just leave it at that. I just hope the Lord has mercy on his soul. Jürgen, that's all I can say.
That's all we can do, Barry, right?
Well, to me, buddy, you know what? I want to be on this planet, even if I'm in pain and I'm suffering. I still want to be here to the last fleeting second, because I only go through here once. And I just don't think it's been a good thing in our society where the government now makes it legal that you can go in and ask them to end your life. That's a very, very slippery slope. And if that legislation wasn't there, is there still a possibility that he could be reverse the effects of the cancer in his body? I messaged him a couple times, and I said, "What exactly did you try for alternatives?" Right. And I never got a real firm response from him. But there, you know, I'm of the belief, Jürgen, that if somebody is diagnosed with cancer, there's absolutely, in my opinion, right now, no reason for you to die from cancer with what we know now about all kinds of things that will attack and kill cancer in your body. And the list is long. And if you implement those in your life, I know I've seen it with my own eyes. I can't say here on the radio that will clear cancer, that'll cure cancer, because I'd go to jail for that. But I've seen it with my own eyes, what alternatives done with people that have been sent home to die. I had a friend here in Rupert or in Terrace here that was sent home, had 3 weeks. They told him he had to live. Well, we got Larry on a few things, and he lived for another 5 years. What got him in the end, his cancer went into full remission. And what got him in the end was pneumonia. And that was because he was chemoed about 7 times in his life before he started using alternatives. And I was just blessed to be able to extend his life because I got him on some stuff that I was told about that I see working in other people. I just share that information with people. He started applying it, and all of a sudden, it's like his body came back to life. And like I said, he got another 5 years before he finally left the earth. So I praise God for that.
I've got some good news on that front too. I have skin cancer, and what I found is lately we have a water drinking system now. It's a, I guess it's a filterized water system, and it makes my water alkaline. And what's happened since I've started drinking the alkaline water, it's been about a year and a half now. What I find is that these little skin tag things that come up that are cancerous, after a little while, because of the alkaline water, I can pick them off.
Yep.
These are things that you used to have to go to a doctor for. But now, because the alkaline rejects the cancer, I find these little things that grow on my skin that are cancerous, I pick them off and they fall off. They'll come off eventually. So the alkaline water is really helping. How come no one says, let's all drink alkaline water? Here, drink the fluoride.
Yeah. You know, in 1939, a doctor was given a Nobel Peace Prize for discovering, Jürgen, that alkaline, if you raise the alkaline levels in your body, there's ways you can raise it. It's not something you can do for a prolonged period of time. But if you raise your alkaline levels to a high level in your body, all cancers in your body will die. Right. He was awarded a Nobel Peace Prize for this. It was never published in American medical journals because at that time cancer was becoming a very, very big business, and they sure didn't want people to know that something as simple as raising your alkaline levels would end cancer in your body. They didn't want the public to know that, but that's a fact. Lots of people have used it, and it's effective. There's pros and cons to it. But that's just one of many. I mean, saturating your body with vitamin C, saturating your body with oxygen is one of the best things you can do to kill cancer, because cancer loves an oxygen starved situation, and they love an acidic situation in the body. And everything we eat and drink is acidic. So, of course, it's thriving because of those conditions in our body. Turn that around and cancer becomes a non-issue. Go ahead.
Yeah, let's take it to another place. Did you see this week? I just want to bring this up because I just saw a note here. I wanted to mention it. Spain is now the 9th country in the world to take its health minister to court and win. Did you see that?
I saw that.
The High Court has announced that COVID-19 is a bioweapon with a patent, not a virus.
Yeah, I saw that. But you will never see that on mainstream over here, Jürgen.
Oh, I know. I know.
I saw that. Well, let's get CBC to put that out.
Yeah.
I have not heard a murmur on mainstream about the organization called Mounties for Freedom. You don't think the Canadian people would like to know that there's police forces right across the country right now that are standing up against these government mandates? That the number is exponential. That go look at it yourself, folks. Look at the support. Just go to the site, punch in support, and look at the page of supporting agencies now in Canada that have signed on. There's going to be a change, and I believe what you just said there a few minutes ago about an explosion in knowledge.
Yeah.
I believe we're getting to that tipping point right now because people are really starting to ask questions. And like I said, that site alone has been something that has really inspired me. There's days I sit here, Jürgen, and I go, hey, what the hell is going on? Excuse my language. What the heck is going on here? Do we have a chance to stop this madness? It just seems like it's right out of control, that people aren't standing up, that people are just rolling over and doing exactly what the government tells them. They're going along to get along. It is so sad to see our grandfathers. We've used this analogy so many times. They're rolling in their graves. But then I see what these RCMP officers are doing, and it has really inspired me, my friend. I urge everybody to get behind this organization. Send them letters, send them emails, and get involved. Go ahead, Jürgen.
Yep. Mounties for Freedom, the number 4, folks. Do it. Sign up. Do it. We need all kinds of people behind it. We need to back these people. They're fighting for us. They're fighting with us. You know, we need to stop the madness. And one of the things that, you know, we talk about a lot over the years, of course, is energy, the energy file. Hey, Barry, you know that, again, this week it was highlighted with the bunker fuel thing situation with all those ships.
Sitting in the rivers.
Sitting there.
Yeah.
You know, the bunker fuel thing that I posted this past week, watching Mike Morales down at the Weather Channel down in the States there, he does reports on bunker fuel a lot, on how these cargo ships, and I've mentioned it before, I think, on your show, where the cargo ships are allowed to have, they can burn any kind of bunker fuel they want in international waters. In other words, they burn the cheapest crap they can to cross the ocean. As soon as they get into waters that are owned by the states or any sovereign nation, they have to burn regulated fuel, stuff that is cleaner. But as soon as they're out in international waters, they just use the cheapest stuff they can. It's called bunker fuel. And what happens with it is that the chemicals in the bunker fuel are released into the atmosphere, and they use these chemicals to help stir up the storms through HARP, right? The chemicals from bunker fuel actually, they rise up in the air, and the chemicals from the geoengineering fall down from the sky. And if you can picture them meeting in the middle sort of thing, and then HARP being used as the instrument to take the chemicals, whip them into cloud formations, and create the different variant storms that we get. The more I study that situation, the more I realize how they've played with weather for so freaking long. It's unbelievable. You know, just look at it this way. Canada ships coal to China. China burns coal to generate power, uses that power to manufacture solar panels and windmills, sells those solar panels and windmills to Canada, and send it across on ships burning oil. In Canada, we install the solar panels and call it emissions-free electricity. It's a creative accounting at its best, right?
Who thinks up this stuff, man?
It's unbelievable.
It is.
Paul Martin makes a fortune. We have lots of coal in Canada. We say we can't burn coal, so we ship it over to China that builds coal plants, probably one a week, right, to supply the energy they need. And we're not allowed to burn any of it. And we're told that we got to pay a carbon tax because we're the ones that are messing up the air. It's so messed up. And when are people going to realize this? It's just, it's mind-boggling to think that people can't see through this.
Well, hey, they're putting the carbon tax up again, Jürgen, and then next month they're going to put it up again, and then they're going to put it up again, and we're going to be at $2 a liter for gasoline in the very, very near future. But this is absolute insanity. But remember, Trudeau is saving the world, so I'm glad he's taking my money like that, buddy. Because
coming up next is mileage. Oh. You're going to be
and you know, as far as China burning coal, well, you got to realize that there's a wall and. What happens over there, it stays over there. That it doesn't come over and affect us in North America.
Because, that's true.
You know, it stays in China, buddy. You know that.
Right, yeah. Just like Fukushima stays in Japan, right?
Yeah, right off the coast there. Hasn't gone across the Pacific Ocean. Isn't right. affecting our ocean right now in ways that people have no idea what's going on out there right now, Jürgen. But it's not good. It's not good.
But it's important to fly to Glasgow and make sure that we put in another tax for people driving SUVs because that's what's causing the climate change.
Absolutely. We are the enemy of the planet, my friend.
Yeah.
And you better get with it real quick here because your grandchildren are depending on it, Jürgen. Carbon emitter.
Yeah. Yeah.
You got to laugh at this. I mean, that big yellow thing up in the sky, that doesn't affect our climate at all. It never has, never will, because it's always been stable, right? I mean, I don't know what happened in the Ice Age. It was just kind of a fluke. And there was times on this planet that the Earth was so hot that there was basically no ice on the planet, period. What happened there, I wonder. We weren't around putting carbon in the atmosphere, were we? And I thought carbon was actually good. That's what I learned in school, that plants take in carbon. And they exhale oxygen. Isn't that how it works? God, or is that changed now?
It's all changed. Yeah.
Okay.
We have new math. We have new biology, right?
Oh, okay. Can you send me a book on the new stuff? Because I'm still thinking that carbon was a good thing, man.
Okay, listen. If you were to define political correctness, let me give you the definition of political correctness for you to understand why you where you are. Are you ready?
I'm ready, buddy. Political
correctness is a doctrine fostered by a delusional, illogical minority and rabidly promoted by an unscrupulous mainstream media, which holds forth the proposition that it is entirely possible to pick up a piece of turd by the clean end. That's the definition of political correctness. That won the award. It came out of the University of Texas. It won the award as the best definition of political correctness.
I've never heard that. You're going to have to send me that, bud. Oh, please do. That was good. Well, thanks. That put a little laugh into the conversation.
It is a good one, right? A doctrine fostered by a delusional, illogical minority and rapidly promoted by an unscrupulous mainstream media, which holds forth the proposition it's entirely possible to pick up a piece of turd by the clean end. And that's exactly what it is. They've convinced people that lies are truth and truth are lies, and you cannot abide the truth, and you shall not listen to the truth. You shall listen to the shiny and polished propaganda that we put forth, because that's all you should believe. Everything else is not to be, it's not to be questioned whatsoever.
Beyond question. If you do question us, we are building camps for people like you right now. Yeah. And boy, we say stuff like that and people chuckle, Jürgen, but you know what? It's not a joke. I've had too much information come to me about things going on in Canada. Of course, you'll never, ever hear a peep about it on mainstream. But I know there's some pretty nefarious things going on in this country. Go ahead.
Here's your future, what you're going to be looking forward to, okay? We're going to be living in shipping containers-sized homes that you can also work in. You'll be staying there. Right. Tiny homes are the big thing now, and they're promoting them like crazy. Everywhere you go, it's like, oh, my God, these tiny homes are so cute. They want to jam people into these friggin' pods in the apartments in San Francisco. Have you seen those where you have 15 people paying $4,000 a month to have one room and share a friggin' kitchen with 10 other people? So you're going to end up living in a shipping container sized homes that you also work in. You're going to have Amazon drones bring everything you need to live. You own absolutely nothing. And you escape all your complete natural existence in the metaverse. That's what they want.
You'll be happy.
plugging in that headset and living in a dream world, because the real world, there's no room for you in the real world anymore. This is a friggin' horror movie. It's a horror movie is what it is.
Yeah, but it's coming. You see it. I see it.
Yeah, he's changing.
We all see it. We all see it coming. Why can't the general public see this? Because there's no excuse for not knowing what's going on in our country right now, Jürgen. It's the argument of ignorance. I just can't buy that anymore, because you can go on the internet in an hour and find enough dirt on what's going on in this country right now that it should send you on a journey that you and me find ourselves in, where we can't turn our back on what we know now. We're at that point. We're all in. And there is no turning back. It wouldn't take much for people to find out that they have been duped. That's the hardest thing for a person to accept in their life, is that they have been duped. But very necessary right now, my friend. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely right. You know, Barry, things are so screwed up. I mean, did you see that case of the in the Virginia there, that father whose daughter went into the bathroom and the transgender boy went in and raped her, and he went to the school board and demolished the school board, basically told them, you're not protecting the children here, and he got demolished, and he was basically the FBI is investigating the father because he went to the school board meeting and he chastised the school board for not protecting his daughter who got raped by a transsexual in the girl's bathroom. Barack Obama made a quote saying the father's madness was nothing but right-wing outrage. It's right-wing outrage that a father got mad that his daughter was raped by a transsexual in the girl's bathroom? Are you kidding me? That's the kind of man Barack Obama is? If that doesn't tell you everything about that man.
Yeah, and you haven't heard the end of that guy, Jürgen. He's coming back. Guaranteed. Guaranteed. Sure. Yeah. We see the playbook unfolding around that man and what his role is going to be. And it could be one that's maybe even biblical. Who knows? But there's some pretty crazy stuff going on in our world right now. And I'm sitting back here in awe, just almost blown away to the point where I have a hard time believing it some days at how fast these agendas are happening and how fast our society is changing and what exactly Canadians are willing to accept. It just blows me away, Jürgen.
Because this is, have you seen the new cabinet? Just,
wow. Talk about that for a minute, Jürgen.
Let's talk about
that. Have you ever seen a bigger joke in your life? Come on, man.
This is insane.
It's a disgusting. Tell them about it, Jürgen.
It's absolutely insane. We are now, Trudeau has shuffled the cabinet to the point where we now have ideologues in charge of just about every department. There's nobody there with a sense of business. There's nobody there with a sense of economics. They're all ideologues, hell-bent on an agenda. They don't care about anything. The new environment minister is one of the biggest eco-terrorists out there. He's going to make sure that Alberta is finished. He's going to make sure Saskatchewan is finished. He's going to make sure that the only thing the West is good for is to supply more money to Quebec. He's going to make sure that that happens. And Melanie Joly, foreign affairs minister. Are you kidding me?
Yeah.
Foreign affairs minister?
Yeah, I know. And the new minister of defense. What's her name? I can't even think of her name right now. Female. And I looked at her and I'm going, are you serious? No, it's a joke. Yeah,
it is.
But it's not a joke.
It's so sad. It's so sad.
It is, Jürgen. And what are we going to do about this now? This guy's back in there. You know, he's got the support of the NDP. They've made their backdoor deals. You know, he got 151 seats, add the 25 seats that the NDP have, and he's got a majority. He basically is going to do anything he wants, and there's nothing we can do to stop it. We have to change that, Jürgen. Recall legislation should be the scream of the nation right now, period. Go ahead.
Yeah, recall legislation for sure. And, the notion that the people should be able to vote on various issues that move this country forward, referendum, for example, we don't have any of that. You know,
we have nothing.
Nothing. We're never allowed to give our opinion on anything. They just push forth these programs and these initiatives and these mandates without consulting the public at all. It's all about an agenda, as we've talked about before, the United Nations, the World Economic Forum, Bilderberg, all these various groups. I mean, you look at, I posted this week, and we talked about Canada becoming Venezuela of the North many years ago, and it's happening. You look at inflation, and here's the biggest thing that tells me we've become a third world country. We're starting to see these windmills fall down because of the cheap concrete. Okay, I always thought cheap concrete was a third world thing. But welcome to the third world, Canada, because now we have cheap concrete too. We've got windmills falling onto highways and roadways because the concrete's so cheap. Because they've got no regulations on them. They've regulated oil and gas to the point where they have to charge so much money for it because the government coffers get filled up from it. But these windmills are allowed to be built without regulations, so the concrete breaks. And it doesn't matter if the blades fly off. It doesn't matter. They don't have to pay anything. Enough is enough.
What a joke. Really. You're going to see the sediment for separation in Alberta explode, Jürgen.
Big time.
And tell me, I tell you right now, but the moment it happens, I'm moving to, where are you? Medicine Hat.
Medicine Hat, come on down. We could use you here for sure. No doubt about it. No, no, it's going to happen for sure. That the pulse of the people here is becoming so, the
irate
level is rising bigly.
It is so. Everybody I talk to in Alberta feels the same way right now, Jürgen. They're ready to pull the pin that it is time to do something drastic. Drastic times require drastic moves. And, boy, that would sure shake up Ottawa. People say, well, you got to keep the country together. It's a country. Well, we're not a country. We got Quebec, and then we got the rest of Canada. That has got to come to a stop.
Yeah.
Period. And that's a subject that we could talk about for half an hour, how Quebec runs the country. You've talked about it many, many times, and people really don't understand exactly what's going on in our country. They think we have a country, but we don't, Jürgen. We don't.
No, we have the nation of Quebec that rules the country of Canada, and it's been ruling the country of Canada for many years. The borders of Quebec are not what you think they are. The borders of Quebec include New Brunswick, the entire East Coast, and includes all of Eastern Ontario. Wake up, Canada. Quebec is not what you think it is. Quebec is the home of Maurice Strong. It's the home of the United Nations. They have special protected status from the United Nations that the rest of us don't have. Wake up!
What was the cost of the UN site they just built in Montreal? I think it was a $5 billion building they just put up for the UN in Montreal. Jürgen, I believe that was the figure I saw.
Yeah.
The headquarters. And
the headquarters will sure for sure be in Toronto. If New York ever kicks them out, it'll go to Toronto, guaranteed.
Well, Trudeau's their man, man. They're just sure. licking their lips right now. Everything's going according to plan. And we got no opposition. We got nobody pushing back in Canada. The one party that represented some semblance of freedom in this country never even got a seat in Parliament. Again, you tell me that's just by chance, Jürgen? I mean, yeah. I really thought with some of the representatives of the PPC and their support they were getting in their communities, and yet not one of them got in. Tell me it's not fixed. Just tell me.
Yeah. One more thing. I know we've only got a few more minutes, but maybe we should.
We've got about five. We've got about five or six.
Okay. I'll tell you what we should maybe talk about is the volcano in La Palma. Right now, some idiot thinks that dropping bombs on this volcano is a good idea to divert the lava flow. So basically, what they want to do is drop bombs into it so that the island sinks to create a tsunami that will reach the eastern seaboard and wipe out New York, Nova Scotia, and Florida.
The whole East Coast, if ever happens, Jürgen, it is a global changing event. Something
absolutely.
Something that if it does happen, if that landslide was to happen, anybody that's saying that is absolutely insane. We're lucky we haven't seen it happen because I studied that for many years. I looked at the separation between the two land masses on the islands, the fact that the distance is accelerating. In other words, the amount of separation every year they're seeing is increasing. And now you've had this volcano come active. We're lucky it didn't come on that side of the island because it could trigger that landslide. But if that was to ever happen, Jürgen, let's hope it never does. But if it does, boy, if you want to see a bad movie, well, the East Coast of North America in general, Mexico, Brazil, anywhere on the East Coast is going to get hit with a wave. Some of them not too bad, but some of them stuff that would make a very, very bad horror movie. Let's combine that with the nuclear power plants that are operating on the East Coast of North America right now in direct striking range of a major tsunami that they've, in their wisdom, put there over the years so that one day they could get hit with one of these events. And boy, you want to see wipe out the planet, man. Holy smokes. Suicide. Nuclear suicide if it happens, Jürgen. Period.
Exactly right.
That's what's going to happen. So let's hope it never does, buddy.
Well, in watching that, did you see any of it where they actually had earthquakes that were in a pattern? Have you ever seen earthquakes in a grid pattern?
No, but I saw that. How does that happen, Jürgen?
Well, that's what I'm asking. How does that happen?
They had earthquakes
in a grid pattern. It doesn't happen. So what are they doing? What is it?
You know what I think it is, Jürgen? I think it's the use of a directed energy weapon.
I think that's
exactly what they're using right now to do that, because I saw those, and none of that makes any sense. None of it makes any sense. Somebody said HARP. I don't think it's HARP. I think it's actually directed energy weapons, and we know they possess that technology. So, interesting.
Yeah, it's a very scary situation over there, and I don't understand why there's not more focus on it. It's been over 40 days, right? 43 or 44 days of this thing going on.
Yeah, and it's only getting better, apparently. And then we got Etna over in Italy, and then what's the other one? Theo, I can't pronounce it. But that's the one that they're really worried. We're living on, you know, right now, Jürgen, believe it or not, we're living on a ticking time bomb right around the world. We have fault lines that are overdue all over the world right now. You talk about the Cascadia, we talk about the San Andreas. I mean, we talk about the New Madre. I mean, all these fault lines. And if you study them all, you'll find out that a lot of them are overdue for another major movement. Well, you know, the problem we have, and we're only going to say this one more time, but I've said it so many times on my show, is that back in through geological history of the planet, sure, these events have happened. We've seen earthquakes. Well, we haven't seen them, but the Earth has witnessed earthquakes in the 10, as high as 11 magnitude, something that we've never witnessed. But to say that hasn't happened, it has happened in geological history of the planet. Now we have nuclear power plants built all over this world. And when some of these major movements start, you're going to see meltdowns on top of meltdowns on top of meltdowns. How many meltdowns before we kill all life on the planet? My question. One question we shouldn't be asking ourselves, but it's a very real question that we should be asking ourselves right now, because we still have some, maybe a window of opportunity to turn it around, to eliminate that threat. That's my hope for the human race, Jürgen. Go ahead. And we only got a minute left, buddy. Our time's gone real quick, as it always does. So I'm going to let you share a few last thoughts with people today, and I'll look forward to our next conversation, my friend.
Well, thanks for having me again, Barry. I really appreciate our conversations. I know it's been a number of years now, and like I say, I really enjoy it. Thanks for having me on again. And the only thing I'd like to say is that I think it's time, you know, for all the sleeping people to really open their eyes. We need to. You need to come together with the rest of us. You need to understand that it's not left versus right. It's right versus wrong. It's not conservative versus liberal. It's black and white. It's either right or it's wrong. You know in your heart what's right. You know in your heart that love leads the way. You know in your heart that goodness should override the evil. So wake up every day, be positive, get healthy, take your vitamin C and D, put a smile on your face, and make sure that you walk around making sure that everybody else around you feels good. And let's move forward with that, okay? That's all I can say for now. Let's just move forward with positive energy, lots of love, lots of friendship, pat each other on the back, say good things, let's be happy.
Take your mask off.
Take your mask off. Darn right. There you go.
Oh, what a shabaka. Well, hey, you know, you're always great having you in, and promise if you oblige me, we'll do this again in the very near future.
For sure, my friend. Thanks a lot for having me, Barry. We'll talk again soon. All the best.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Well, that's it, folks. Another wrap. Enjoyed the conversation today. I hope you guys enjoyed what we had to say today, and maybe we made some sense in some of our conversations. Maybe we've been able to shed light on a few things that need to have some light shed on. I'll be back next week, same time, same place. I know that I do have Laura Lynn confirmed for next week, and I'm looking forward to that conversation. And a doctor joining me next week, so I'll be back, same time, same place. You guys all have a great week. God bless you, and bye for now.
You're listening to www.